This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh**.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He called the sh**.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shitter!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. Part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
That's our mantra, Andy Hart. Getting dumber for having listened to us. PFW in Progress on a Thursday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. The astute listeners know Thursday afternoon usually means Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, otherwise known as the A-Team, and we are here.
Did you read that email yesterday? Gary, do we have that email?
What about the A-Team being Fred and somebody?
No. The types of players we were. If we were players on a team, like a certain type of player on a football team, an NFL team. Gary, bring that in here. Read that, Paul. Or you want me to? I'll read it.
Why don't you read it?
For the effect. Okay, this is from TG and NJ, and it's a great email. As you can see, Gary printed it out. It's now a Hall of Fame email. The A-Team is the subject. Okay, been listening to you boneheads for a while now, and I think I got it figured out from a player's perspective. Called us boneheads. I was ready to get defensive. Andy, he's the consummate team player, fan favorite, homeboy done good. Everybody's wearing his jersey. Always comes through in the big game. Solid player. Tom, he's the veteran.
Highly inaccurate, but
no,
go ahead.
This is a tremendous accurate email. Tom, he's the veteran free agent value signing. Took less money to be on a winning team. He's got the credentials. Greatness is expected and will be achieved.
Okay.
Paul.
Why do I know where this is going?
He's the big franchise player on the last year of his contract. Wants to get to free agency and is desperately trying to avoid the franchise tag. Fred.
Oh, I can live with that.
Constantly being signed to and released from the practice squad. Kind of like Hank Poteet. Whatever the configuration, you are a welcome alternative to any other so-called professional analysts. And then it goes on to a question that I meant to ask Fred.
That was a nice email.
That was a tremendous email. It's positive about all of us except Fred.
Which I can live with.
Anytime you compared to Hank Poteet.
I thought when you first started describing the, what kind of player, I thought it was more in terms of, like, what position do you think you guys would play or, you know, what kind of mentality did you have as a player or something like that. But
I'd be a linebacker.
That's interesting.
Tom would be Mike Wright.
I'd be a safety.
Really?
I'd be a safety. Why is it any more ridiculous for you to think that you could be a linebacker? Because you played at Division III Tufts. I could have played Division III football. I had offers.
I thought you couldn't play high school football.
No, for Everett High.
Oh. In so the years when they went 4-7 every year?
Everett High in Division III football. Everett High wins.
Oh, except when you were at Everett High. Then you didn't win high school football.
Anyway.
Tick, 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 tick.
Anyway. I've often said, well, I'll leave this off the air because it's not really that interesting, but PFW in Progress on a Thursday. Jets coming to town, Andy Hart. Not a lot of people talking about the New York Jets. It's a couple of, two real storylines basically for the week. Number one is the Colts aftermath and whether or not they ran the ball enough, and we're done with that. We're not going to get into any more of that Colts talk today. And number two, Rodney Harrison situation. He's going to miss at least one game, probably several, with a fractured scapula. and he will not be on the field on Sunday. I think, and we talked about this yesterday with you and Tom, I think that we might see Eugene Wilson back this week and have Wilson and Hawkins next to each other with Chad Scott and Asante Samuel at corner, and good old Ellis Hobbs coming in his nickelback role. Do you believe that to be the case if Wilson is healthy enough?
If Wilson's healthy, I think he plays. I think he'll be out there, and which obviously would put him at safety, Scott at corner. But that's the unknown. You know, the hamstring, he already made the comeback attempt once and re-injured it and has now missed a couple games. So that's the big question. I think it's a little disappointing that Ellis Hobbs now seems to be a nickelback type. Now, whether that's just the wrist injury, I'm not sure, but he seems to have taken a little bit of a step back here, or at least kind of plateaued and not improved.
Well, I think it's probably the wrist a little bit more than anything else, because you got to figure if he was – you're right. It's disappointing, because if he was playing as well early
as he
was –
You're not going to fall for the banana and the
He's going to be on the outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Chad Scott can come in, you know, on nickel downs and play outside and have Hobbs play inside if they felt like that was the skill set for those guys.
Well, the only thing I would say is I think it takes a little more athleticism to play inside.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And
but
I think
even if
Hobbs
you thought
has a little more athleticism.
Do you know what I'm saying? Even if you were making the argument, well, maybe they have Hobbs in the slot on third downs because they feel like he's athletic enough to do it and they don't think that Chad Scott, well, then he would be playing on early downs outside and moving inside on passing downs.
Could be more than likely.
Unless they're worried about
the wear and tear.
Well, that's true.
Something where if he's bumping a lot, banging a lot, they think it'll be have a negative effect on the recovery process.
All right, so we're talking about anything to do with the Jets game, predictions,
the high-powered Jets.
One week to the other,
it's the Colts,
it's
now
the
you
Patriots,
got the Jets.
The high-powered Jets attack.
Explosive.
And, webradio@patriots.com is the way you can get your emails to us, webradio@patriots.com. We have several already here. We're going to get to those in a moment because, as you know, on Thursdays, we are a little shorter. It's 12 to 1 Eastern.
Oh, I can't afford to be any shorter.
12 to 1 Eastern time. We will have Andy and I going through your emails and taking thoughts on the game, whereas at 1 o'clock, as Andy chews on his potato chips, Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale will join us. We'll go around the NFL and make our picks, and we'll do that. So webradio@patriots.com. If you want to give us a phone call and talk to Gary, he's lonely, 508-543-7484. A couple of things I wanted to bring up that aren't necessarily Patriots related, Andy.
Our fans love that.
No, I know, but they're football related.
Oh, okay.
Number one is the altercation that happened during the Monday night game between Tyler Brayton and Jeremy Stephens. The NFL handed out its punishment yesterday, fining both players. Stephens got fined $15,000 and Brayton was fined $25,000, but there was no suspension. I want to know your thoughts. Fair, unfair, or indifference totally? What do you think?
How about ignorance? I've only seen the actual knee. What did Stevens do?
There was a tussle going on.
First of all, I side opposite Jeremy Stephens because I think he's a punk. I think he's a wood. I don't like anything about him.
That's part of this. He was laughing at Brayton while the play was going on. He clearly instigated it. You could tell by, you know, I'm not, you know, obviously the referees knew this, but there was a lot of smiling, smirking, laughing, taunting, for lack of a better
way. I think he's a bad guy, a very bad guy.
And I think, here you go, if you want to turn around, you can actually see it right now. The way I look at it is Brayton, look at Stevens not even defending himself. It's like, I got what I wanted, you know. And it's like the kid in school that would keep poking you and then wait for the teacher to turn around and then put his hands up and say, I didn't do anything. I think this is an excellent move by the NFL. I know it's not politically correct to say, you know, what kind of message are you sending by not suspending the guy for what he did. But I'm going to go on reputations here. And I know Jeremy Stephens' reputation. I knew it coming out of college when we were doing all the draft research on him at the University of Washington. This guy has some trouble in his past, and I think the NFL took that into consideration, quite frankly. And I like the decision not to do what, quote-unquote, the politically correct thing to do would be to suspend him for a game. I think that his comments afterwards were telling. I thought Brayton, you know, he apologized. He said there's no excuse for it. There's no place for it in the game. Let's move on. I think that he was fined a substantial amount of money. $25,000 is nothing to sneeze at. And obviously the NFL thought that Stevens was involved enough to fine him $15,000.
Right. He's nuts. Is he nuts?
Okay. So I was just interested to hear your thoughts on that. The other one, not NFL related, but college football, was the situation at the University of Miami. Their defensive lineman, Brian Potta, was shot and killed tragically on Tuesday. Miami ended up practicing on Wednesday and has decided they will play their game as scheduled on Saturday against the University of Maryland. Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I don't think they should play. And I know supposedly it was they put it up to the players and let the players vote or have a say. I just don't think it's the right thing to do. And I don't think you necessarily want to leave it in the players' hands. I'm not sure they're equipped to make the decision at that time in their lives, at that time in the issue they're dealing with. I think the right thing to do is to not play the game. And, you know, whether you have to forfeit, whether it gets rescheduled at the end of the season, you know, you move it back a couple weeks, it doesn't matter. You know, this is real-world tragedy, and that takes up, you know, it's far more important.
Even if you move it back a couple of days.
I just,
had to be another solution.
Yeah,
there
I don't think they should
have been
be playing,
another solution.
And they kind of, you know, seems like they bumped off the memorial service to the middle of next week so that they could get the game and everything in, and then.
This is where I'm going to kind of sound. I'm going to sound a little contradictory when I just talked about Brayton and how I was glad that they didn't do the politically correct thing. Well, I think this was maybe not the politically correct thing to do, I'm going to side. That might not have been the politically correct thing to do. I misspoke. This, I think, you should go more toward the mainstream thing. I think this sends a horrible message that football is the overriding most important thing here and not the process. I'm not here, and I'm very consistent with this, I'm not here to tell people how they should grieve.
Nobody is.
Okay? We talked about this at the time when Bill Belichick lost his father before the New Orleans game, and he opted to coach. I had no problem whatsoever with that. Now, had he that was an individual decision, okay?
And different.
Far different.
Very,
far
different. Very, very different.
In my opinion, it's unrealistic for me to think that there was 80 kids that all thought the same thing.
Right.
And if there was just one guy that didn't think they should play, they shouldn't be playing.
Right. I agree. Yeah,
I agree with you. The kids are going
to
say, yeah.
I mean, the
be.
Kids, if you put it to a vote, would vote to have some party with strippers, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
Right,
you're the coach. There's adults there. It's a program. These are young adults learning how to lead their life. I mean, as a football coach, you're not just there coaching football, and I know that's your main job, but you're dealing with the players. You're helping them grow as young adults because you spend so much time with them dealing with issues, not just, you know, not just whether they should blitz on third down against some team. It's about how they work towards goals, how they build as a team, how they learn to be men. And I think this is one of those where the administration, the coaches have to step in and say, we need to do the right thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Kids are going to play football because that's what they know how to do. That's
right.
The only thing they really know. You know, so that's I thought that was somewhat interesting. I thought I'd throw that out there. Maybe no one cares about it at all, and maybe it's just something that I found interesting. But take your thoughts on that if you as well. Let's get right to the emails here, Andy, because we have about 45 minutes. We'll try to rattle through as many as we can before we do the picks around the league. So everything is open on the board, webradio at patriots.com. We'll start off with Ray, who says, okay, so with Rodney out, it seems reasonable to assume we'll see more of youngsters like James Sanders, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I actually think not, but I hope so. He seems like one of the few young up-and-comers we have on defense. The only play I ever remember him seeing him involved in was an interception return for a touchdown against the Bills last year. What have you guys seen, and what do you expect we'll see from Sanders, or do you think it will be Chad Scott in at safety? I've been happy with Scott's contributions to this team, but he's got maybe a couple more years in him.
There was an abysmal play against the Denver Broncos and Javon Walker.
And a pass interference as well in that game.
And the fact that, you know, he's the backup and didn't necessarily come in this week, I don't think speaks very highly for what they might plan for him. I know they liked him early in the year. They were very high on his second-year development and the things he had accomplished in the offseason and training camp. But it seems like he's taken maybe a little bit of a step back. That Broncos game was the last significant playing time he's received. And when Bill comes out and says he's Rodney's backup, well, you'd assume when Rodney goes down in the first quarter of a football game, his backup would come in. And I guess maybe it could be a game plan thing where you're playing the high-powered Colts and his skill set as more of an in-the-box, strong safety type, leading tackler out of Fresno State. Maybe his skill set didn't fit what they wanted to do in that game plan, but I still don't think it's a great sign for what they're expecting from him down the road here.
I agree. This next part of the Reverend Ray's question is kind of interesting. He says, out of Mills, Falk, Evans, and Pass, who do you think has a future with this team?
Mills, Falk.
I suppose we could kind of remove Evans, Falk from the equation Pass. Because he's kind of in a different situation than the other three, but...
Ooh. I know how you like it when I do that.
I
don't think any of them should buy homes in the area. I just don't. If there was a decision to be made, I wouldn't feel all that secure. Mills has done nothing. Pass has done nothing, and I don't see them in any rush to get him on the field as a weapon. I think a lot of guys they've brought in fill in different ways the roles he's filled over the years. He makes more money now than he's ever had in the past as it continues to go up. So, you know, while he may be a nice jack-of-all-trades type player, eventually sometimes those guys price themselves out of a job. And Falk, obviously, we've talked about, you know, I think yesterday, kind of a down season. Now, I think he will be here next year. I think Kevin Falk is a part of this team. I think Bill respects him on a lot of different levels in terms of working, relative leadership that he brings to the team, some of the plays, key plays he's made for this team. But with all that said, I think we might be seeing the downside of Kevin Falk in his career. I think he may have crossed that high point in his development and his production and wouldn't be surprised to see his role sort of decline. And
a lot of wear and tear, injuries.
No question.
You know,
small
taking
frame,
some of that speed away.
Takes big hits on occasion. Last week there was one where he got the ball, ran into a crowd of Colts, and they literally picked him up off the field so his feet were 8 inches off the ground and slammed him down to the turf. So, you know, I know Bill says he's one of those guys that plays stronger than maybe his frame is, but he takes a lot of big hits. That's sort of the nature of his role as well, and I think maybe that has taken its toll on him, and he's, you know, a half a step below what he used to be, and I think that can only hurt his production.
Well, Ray's hoping to get tickets to this game, and he... which he says would be his first at Gillette Stadium. I'll clean that one up a little bit, Gary. Because Andy doesn't like the terminology that he uses for that. He doesn't think it's appropriate.
Does it involve a fruit that's red?
Yes,
that is inappropriate for the air. And I know I bend the rules sometimes on what's appropriate and not, but I find that one offensive.
So he says, do you think this would be a good game to see? Yeah, no.
The one thing is, generally, these games are within sort of like a score, 10 points at all times. You know, I think the Patriots have won like 7 in a row, but the bulk of them are sort of in question, or there'll be a late score that makes it close enough so that you could say, well, if this happens, you know, there's a chance. I would say the Patriots will win, from a Patriots perspective. That's always a fan. But, you know, it's not, I'd be shocked if either team really blows the other out, I think.
He really likes Willie Andrews on special teams, too.
How do you not like Big Willie?
We agree about that.
Big Willie, that's what it says, right down his spine and across his shoulders.
We got Philip.
Philip! Hey, man, what's happening, Philip?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
How are you, man?
Good. And the other thing working against Kevin, he's got the 10th highest cap number on the team.
That's an interesting...
I don't think there's anybody that's ready to fill that exact role, but with Maroney and his explosive plays...
You might need less of that, depending on how long you plan on having Dylan stay around. If Dylan's still here next year with Maroney,
right,
you might have...
you might be back with Patrick Pass. Maybe Falk's out and Pass stays to fill a couple of catches on third down.
You might have a limited use for that, you know, for that valuable third down back, because you're obviously splitting the carries so Maroney can catch the ball more often. And I think right now Maroney's more dynamic with the ball in his hands than Falk really ever was.
And with the system they've run and what they've done with the draft, I think you're always going to have those questions of extra running back, fullback, extra tight end types battling for a couple roster spots each and every year.
Yeah, I would see them drafting a running back in mid of play rounds this year.
Maybe a third down type, a Mawelde Moore or yeah. a Maurice Jones-Drew or one of those guys.
It's funny that you mentioned Moore because we know that, that Bill kind of liked him a little
yep.
bit a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Reason why I called is I want to ask you guys about Rodney this year. Looking at the games on TV, you can't really evaluate the plays of the safeties too much. But, you know, just going by the tangible plays, you know, forced fumbles, sacks, interceptions, things like that, or even really big hits, it just doesn't seem like the player he's been. And I want to see if you guys have a
yeah.
take on that.
Well, it's understandable, too. I agree with you, Phil. I don't think that he's been anywhere near the level that he was at before he was injured in Pittsburgh last year. But real, and this is a major, major injury. You look at the other guys that are coming back from those major knee injuries, Carson Palmer is nothing resembling his former self.
Yeah.
You know, Culpepper, I mean, Nick Saban all but admitted that he botched the whole situation. He wasn't ready to play. He's going to end up on IR probably. And which is funny is, we were talking about this all summer long, and Tom Casale was really adamant about it, just not understanding how these guys were coming back so soon. Well, now we're finding out that they just really weren't ready to come back so soon. I think Rodney was getting better every week. I think he was making more of an impact, probably starting with that fumble that he forced. Ronnie Brown? Andy,
yes.
help me out?
Miami. Yes, yes, yes.
Starting Miami. With the fumble that he forced against Miami, seemingly involved in more plays every week, up until, obviously, he gets out, knocked out of the first play of the game the other day, third play of the game for the defense. So we don't know what he was going to do in that game. But, yeah, I think you're right, Phil. This is not nearly as big a loss in my mind because you're not losing the caliber of player this time around that you lost last year.
Yeah. It's interesting. The last 3 years they've drafted four safeties, but now they're playing two free agent cornerbacks at both safety positions.
Well, I think that plays into Bill's whole theory, though, in the secondary. He likes the veteran, experienced guy who he can tell to do something and be in a spot, and he's going to be in that spot, and it takes away sort of the uncertainty that comes with a younger player.
Kind of makes you wonder why they're drafting those young safeties, though.
Well, I think the hope is one of them becomes the guy you can count on for the next 4 or 5 years, but it clearly didn't happen with Scott and Reed. Sanders, I'd like to think that the jury's still out. I'd still like to think that he can become a productive contributor.
Yeah, I'm not ready to completely give up on Sanders either. And I also think in Scott's case, Reed I didn't think was very good, to be quite frank. But with Gus Scott's case, I might have a little bit. I cut him a little slack for those two injuries that he saw. I mean, again, we're dealing with torn ACLs, and that's a major injury. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he didn't have the talent to play either. But, you know, maybe the setbacks that he suffered were too much for a young guy to overcome, too. So I cut him a little bit of slack.
What about Willie Andrews?
He's just one of those, he's an all-around defensive back. We haven't seen much of him on defense at all, and I wouldn't anticipate seeing him this year anyway.
I don't think he has the build, the size to play safety in the NFL.
Yeah, he played safety and corner at Baylor. He worked at both, from what I saw during the summer. I saw him at both spots.
Yep.
Very aggressive player, physical player. He made some good hits in the preseason.
I agree with Andy. He's a special teamer and a reserve sub-package kind of defensive back who might bring depth, help you out. But I don't see him as a guy you could say, well, maybe he could play full-time safety.
Could he play nickel or dime corner?
Maybe. That's what I mean. I think he could maybe fill a role like that coming off the bench in sub-situations. But I just... You know, Randall Gay, you see guys with the frame, and you just say, I don't think he could last.
He's not going to hold up, playing 50 snaps a game, 60 snaps
right.
a game.
He's a small guy.
And
Willie Andrews is tiny.
And let me tell you something. For a young guy, too, he is a very, very good special teams player. And usually you don't see young guys make that big of an impact, but he is. And, I think that he probably has a future here because they really value that stuff.
And we see how the secondary works. If you're here as a gunner and you secure your future as a special teamer, chances are somebody's going to get hurt and you'll play some defense.
Right.
Can he return punts? I know he did in the preseason, but I haven't seen him do it in the regular season.
I think he can, but his ball security and decision-making started to become a little bit of an issue later in the preseason. So maybe that's one of those cases where... You could see one or two here or there as the year goes on in a blowout, get him some experience next preseason. But right now, I just don't think the trust factor is there on that.
And I asked him about that today, as a matter of fact, Phil. And, you know, he clearly wants to get those opportunities. But, you know, he said it flat out. He goes, look, you know, Lawrence is doing a great job returning kicks. Kevin's been pretty solid on punt returns. You know, they don't need me.
Right.
You know, so I think that he clearly would like the opportunity, but also recognizes the fact that he's doing other things, and the guys that are doing that, they're doing it pretty well.
All right. Have a good week, guys.
All right, Phil.
That's it, Phil.
Take care.
Yeah, no, Willie Andrews, I think, is an interesting guy. I totally agree with you, Andy, though. I don't think that he is big enough to play safety. I mean, I know Archel Hawkins is a pretty small guy.
But thicker.
But he's much
Willie Andrews is tiny.
Yeah, he's a small Willie Andrews.
He might be the smallest guy in that locker room.
Think he's smaller than Randall Gay?
I think Gay's a little taller.
Yeah.
So I would say that makes him look smaller.
I think he's thinner than Andrews.
Maybe. Certainly not the guy you want to be compared to if people are questioning your durability and your size and whether you have the frame to play. Randall Gay wouldn't be the guy I want people saying, is he a little smaller than Gay?
Oh, there you go. How about Elidio? I think it's Elidio in Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
We don't get a lot of emails from Nicaragua, do we?
No.
Okay.
Where's Nicaragua?
South America.
Is it?
Central America.
Okay. I was thinking that, but I wasn't sure. It's a little bit of me that was questioning. Gary, that's in South America, Central America, Nicaragua?
Well, I know it's one of them. I don't know if it's Central or South.
I would say Central.
Central.
I'll refer to the map.
Okay. You go do that. Let's see.
Is that Imelda Marcos and the shoes and her husband and everything?
No. She was from the Philippines.
Oh. Who's in Nicaragua? I thought there was something happening there.
Noriega.
Noriega.
Manuel Noriega.
The rapper.
Central.
Is that a rapper, Gary?
Central.
Noriega? Sorry, I thought you were
Can I read the
music
email?
Guy.
I am.
Go.
So I don't
Look it up.
I was listening a few days ago to Tom being upset with the lack of playing time for Chad Jackson. You are right. He only plays 3 or 4 plays a game. I also remember you during the draft podcast saying how the Patriots raped the Packers on the trade to move up in the second round to select Jackson.
There's a shock. Tom contradicted himself?
I was going to say, those are the kinds of terms that Tom uses to endear himself to the crowd. Raped. Now, ex-Packer Javon Walker looks to be the difference maker in Denver. And Greg Jennings, who the Packers picked up after Jackson, looks to be a real find for the Pack. He starts now every game. I think for the time being, the Pats got raped for not signing Walker, and they got raped again for drafting a Florida Gator receiver high in the draft. That is also always a big no-no. Riddell Anthony, Ike Hilliard, Travis Taylor, Taylor Jacobs, Jabbar Gaffney, Rishay Caldwell.
Half those guys are on this team.
were all first and second round picks who did very little in the NFL. By the way, I thought that when Brian Daboll gave Jackson a playbook to study, he was impressed. He impressed the Pats coaches with his comprehension of the offense. Guess that didn't equate to actual games. Everything is easy to criticize after the fact. So, Tom, I don't fault you on your draft day enthusiasm. I just hope that it wasn't a big mistake because they could sure use Javon Walker or Greg Jennings now.
What? Chad Jackson is more talented than Greg Jennings. More talented. I want to be clear with
you. I'm not ready to jump off the Chad Jackson bandwagon.
Well,
I am disappointed.
I've reeled in my expectations tenfold.
I am disappointed thus far with his play. I thought he would be more of an impact player. Interesting, again, the timing of that email, because a lot of the press conference today was about Chad Jackson and about, you know, Bill's expectations. He's not big on expectations, Andy.
Nah, I'm not real big on expectations.
So, the timing of that is interesting. I'm not ready to give up on him. However, I am disappointed that he hasn't made a bigger impact through the first half of the season.
Should we play our little game?
Which one is that?
Can we bring one of our off-the-air games on the air?
Which one is that?
We'd be okay with that? Under over on Chad Jackson's career length in New England. 3 years.
Wow.
Fans, email in, webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com.
Do you think that Jackson is here
for the host?
You think he's here? Well, you know, I try to get him, but he just won't. What are you going to do?
I got a little tickle in my throat. It was like Brady yesterday in his press conference. Did you hear that? All of a sudden he goes,
"They're
with Athweek." I'm like, "What's with the rabbit?" But
did Gary play the "Not Going to Fall for the Banner in the Tailpipe" soundbite every time, like he does every time I misspeak?
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
Chad Jackson, will he be here more than 3 years, or are there some of the questions we've seen big enough issues so that they could hold back his development and growth and could become a disappointment and a bust eventually?
Is he here for the long term, or do you think this guy is what he is and he's struggling to get the offense and will never be, quote-unquote, a Patriot? Sean in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Do you feel the non-use of Maroney is a way of not letting him hit that so-called rookie wall? Do you also feel that Belichick was not showing his hand to the Colts because, not that he will admit it in public, he was not showing his hand in fear of he may face them again in January? I still feel that this game is going to be a dogfight, and I know Tom does not bet, but if he did, take the points, 27-24 Pats, and like Paul said yesterday, if the Jets score 24 on offense, the rest of the season will not be a cakewalk.
What's the spread?
10.5.
Oh, wow. I'll take the Jets.
Okay.
Oh, I should save that for later.
Right.
It's 10.5 points? Why does that seem like a lot?
10.5.
Wow. Let's going to the Boston Herald, the official source of betting lines worldwide.
10.5.
Okay, no, I really don't buy into the whole holding back thing.
I'd like to
win games against
good
teams. I'd like to win them so that maybe if I play them again, I play them at home.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, that you will hold. People are suggesting that they held Maroney back to not show. He carried the ball 13 times.
Right.
If you didn't play him in that game because he was nicked up, maybe you could possibly somehow say in the back of your mind, well, maybe he was kind of iffy. We don't have to show anything to him. Why would Bill Belichick have not cared if they won this game? What did Bill Belichick have to gain by not winning this game?
I'm going to steal a line from Bill. I'm not real big on holding back.
No, I understand that.
Play games, I try to win them.
But like Sean said, there's no way he's going to admit it publicly. But I'm trying to play devil's advocate and say, okay, there's something to this. What benefit? Last year, there was a benefit to losing on purpose to Miami.
He wants to play
what
in
benefit?
The RCA Dome in the playoffs.
Exactly. Well, does that make any sense?
Maybe he thinks he has a speed-based team now with Lawrence Maroney, a big play guy. He wants to play in the RCA Dome instead
Tom
of this
Brady
crappy
undefeated.
Field.
Undefeated.
In January, Brady in the Dome. Clearly, I'm on. He swayed me.
Would he
Patriots
rather,
threw this game last week.
Would you
Kevin
rather,
Falk was in on it.
Would you rather have won the game and had the potential to play at home or lost the game and be forced to play on the road?
Clearly they want to play on the road. They're a speed-based team that wants to play indoors in a controlled environment. Rookie kicker, they'd prefer him kicking in a nice, you know, that environment of a dome. Oh, I'm tremendous.
And then what did you hold back? Everybody is complaining that they didn't run the ball enough. They didn't want to have all those fancy, sophisticated runs out there on tape. I mean, you're just running the ball. You know what I'm saying? You're just running the ball. People wanted them to run the ball more. So if anything, if they ran the ball too much, you could possibly say, well, maybe they didn't want to show them a lot of their passing game with the new receivers. But they threw the ball, in the fans' opinion, too often. So what did you hold back?
The running game.
I don't get
it. And Ryan O'Callaghan, he's your big bruising right tackle. You'd run better with him out there, so they put Nick Kazier in.
Now you got it. They'll still be facing O'Callaghan in the playoffs. And
O'Callaghan will be killing people.
Yeah, okay, now I get it. Anyway, Russell is next up in the sun-soaked
Baxter?
O.C., you know, I missed the OC last night because it was a two-parter, and I missed
Why was it on?
I don't know. Why?
Because my show was supposed to be on.
Do you watch it?
No, it was on in place of my show, The Rich List.
Oh, I missed the OC.
I turned to go to The Rich List, and some stupid
Gary, did you check out the finale, the fall finale of Lost last night?
How was it?
I'm trying to catch up on DVD, so I'm DVRing them.
Well, I won't ruin it for you, but the last 10 minutes is outstanding. I'm not going to tell you what happens.
Evangeline Lilly prominently involved?
She's prominently
then
involved.
Then I'm sure it's spectacular.
Throughout the whole.
And real.
Throughout the entire episode, she's prominently involved. You know what truly makes her remarkably good looking? She's on this.
Vision?
She's on this island where she's like supposed, like they go out of their way to make it like all dirty and disgusting, like she hasn't showered in years, and she still looks phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Although there's some flashback scenes with her, you know, when they tell the backstory. I don't like the way she looks in the backstory. Anyway.
Can I ask one question? Anybody watch The Nine?
I gave up on that show. I'm not really a big fan.
I watched it last night. I found it very slow.
Yeah, I don't really like it.
Okay, I was just checking because I thought I had
Although,
heard
who
good
is the blonde woman in that? Do you know?
Which blonde?
I can't put my finger on who
that is. The girl from 24. is in it.
Who's that?
I don't know. The girl from 24.
I don't watch 24, so I don't know who.
Gary, play the clip. Play the clip.
Wait, what clip? I don't know who the girl is.
Stop talking, stop talking, stop talking, stop, 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 stop talking.
Stop it, stop it, stop, 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 stop talking.
Jack Bauer's girlfriend.
I don't know who that is.
She was the Secretary of Defense's daughter. He was boinking her.
I thought you might have wanted...
Oh, no, sorry.
All right, well, let's get on to Russell's...
She's in the new show, Gary. She's
or
in
Edgar.
Nine.
Here's a big...
Edgar! What movie did I watch the other day? An old movie, and Edgar was in it.
Renteria?
No.
Edgar Stiles.
What did we watch on the plane?
He's dead, right?
What did I watch with my
Isn't
wife?
Isn't he dead?
Damn it.
Dead, you know.
Is it possible Edgar was in Rambo?
I don't know, Andy.
No, I watched Rambo with you. No.
Can I get Simpson, can I get on
to anyone who knows?
Emails?
Gary, search Edgar and tell me what old movies he was in.
Spinning out of control.
All right, go.
I think Tom missed my point yesterday when I said that...
Shocking.
I said I want to see the Patriots play Denver, San Diego, and Indy in the playoffs. To be the best, you've got to beat the best,
woo!
Correct?
Woo!
As for the 0-6 record lately against them, well, I think being playoff and championship tested eliminates any so-called mental edge those three teams believe they have.
Mental edge? What about a physical edge? Maybe they're just better than you now.
The overall team health with linebacker in the secondary are bigger concerns. Now, pretend you're the GM. Would you let Samuel go and try and go? Would you let Samuel go and try to sign Clemens? With two first-round picks plus decent cap space, things could happen.
Who's Clemens?
Clemens. Nate Clemens.
Oh, yes. I'd let Samuel go.
Throw cash at Briggs and Clements. I don't know who
Briggs,
a
Chicago.
Linebacker.
Chicago linebacker is pretty good.
Plus decent cap space. Things could happen. Is he a free agent?
I'm guessing. I assume they did the research.
But we don't know who's a free agent at this stage of the year, anyway. But decent cap space. Things could happen. Secure some of the quality middle class players they already have, and things can only get better. Easier said than done, I know. Keep up the great work. The show rocks.
Yes, I'm all for letting Samuel go, signing Nate Clemens, and signing Lance Briggs.
But it's going to cost you a lot more money to sign Nate Clemens than it would be to re-sign Asante Samuel.
Nate Clemens will get a high-teen signing bonus, maybe mid to high-teens, significant package. Lance Briggs will get probably a $10 million signing bonus, maybe.
Plus, you got to make sure these guys are available. I mean, the teams could re-sign them.
Right.
Don't forget.
Or franchise them, or... Who knows what? The cap's going to go up another $7, $8 million.
Right. Now, the one part I do wholeheartedly agree with Russell on is they should have substantial cap space heading into next year because they handle their cap so well that they don't have a lot of huge overages coming with coming players. So that's definitely a big deal. Bill is next up, Andy. I heard a Colts fan write in yesterday and say that the difference in the Patriots of old and the Pats of Sunday was that the Pats do not physically intimidate opponents like in years past. I couldn't agree more. And it all starts and ends in the secondary. Over the years, the Patriots have had multiple first, second, and third round draft picks. They have drafted Eugene Wilson and Ellis Hobbs and traded a pick for Dwayne Starks. Whoopee! Andy.
Yes.
I know you want to see a young linebacker taken, and you are probably right, but I want to see more attention given to the secondary, which has digressed more in the last two...
Ah, the usual suspects. We watched it on the bus ride the other day. Edgar Stiles was in it. Sorry, proceed.
Which has digressed more in the last 2 years than any other area, including wide receivers. They have not been the same since Ty Law and Poole left, and there has been no real sense of urgency to upgrade the position. Artrell Hawkins and Chad Scott do the best they can, but it's not enough. Samuel and Hobbs are nickel and dime corners at best.
I love it when you say that with corners because it's perfect.
Right. Harrison is injury prone, whoopee, and is at the end of his career. If they re-sign Samuel for big money, they are crazy. I know that defensive line and offensive line are important, but you got to spread the wealth. Why not trade up last year in the second round for Richard Marshall instead of Chad Jackson?
Oh, boy.
How about getting more aggressive in free agency? How come big-name free agent corners never think about coming here? Until they get more physical and talented in the secondary, they will not return to the Super Bowl. And that's Bill. What do you think of that, Andy?
I think they need to improve there. But they've won Super Bowls with a lot less talent there than they have now, I think.
There's no question about
that. So that's certainly not the difference maker between them winning and losing.
But I think also that they've done more, I think, to improve that secondary than it just hasn't worked. A lot of the stuff that they've done hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne Starks should still be here playing.
Eric Warfield.
Yeah. I never thought as highly as Warfield. I thought when they brought Starks in, they thought of him as a guy who could start here for a couple years.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
and he couldn't start here for a couple weeks.
Chad Scott started for 8 years in this league.
Yeah.
Brought him in here to play, and he's playing. He's playing pretty well. Some of them haven't worked out. You know, Eugene Wilson was a high pick, second round pick. He wanted to trade up and get Richard Marshall in the second round. Well, you picked up a cornerback a couple of years ago in the second round. He's playing safety.
Boy, have you noticed a trend to the show today? That Chad Jackson pick was a bad pick.
Yeah, and again, I'm not necessarily on board with that yet. I need to see some more on that. But
I'm also not on board that Richard Marshall's great and Greg Jennings is great and all these guys are great.
But what I will agree with Bill is I do think that they need to get better in the secondary because I said it yesterday. I think that teams, when they have time to throw, they find guys open against the Patriots.
And the issue is, maybe your best, most consistent guy, based on playing time and role, Asante Samuel, you could be losing. So in an area where you already say you need to get better, and let's throw Harrison in there. This is his second major injury in the last two seasons.
Right.
So he's at his age. At some point, he comes to an end. So you're saying, okay, we need to get better in the secondary, and there's some issues where you might actually lose some talent. I think that's why people are putting so much focus on it now heading into a potential draft.
And right now, three of your top five secondary guys are in double digits in NFL experience, right? With Hawkins and Harrison and Chad Scott.
Mm-hmm.
If Hawkins isn't 10, it's 9.
Right. I think he might be a 9.
Okay,
but,
so you're getting a little longer.
You're going to lose Samuel, the young guy who's maybe your most consistent, talented right now. You're going to lose.
I do agree with Bill on that regard. They need to get better there. In
Belichick or?
No, Bill the emailer.
Oh.
PJ is next up.
Isn't that our guy that says we're the players?
Oh, I don't know.
PJ and NG? Or NJ and PJ?
No, it just says PJ.
Oh. Go ahead.
He says, do you think there's any chance of a letdown this week after that terrible loss and looking ahead toward the Bears next week? They don't play the Bears next week.
That would go to the
play
Packers.
Green Bay next week. Also, I am starting to get worried about our future at linebacker. Teddy seems to be slowing down, and Junior and Vrabel don't have much time left. Is it possible to get a whole new set of linebackers next season and have them fit in? Not to mention Rodney Harrison being older and starting to get injured a lot. This dynasty the Pats has been built on defense, and I can see that starting to crumble. I hope Scott Pioli and BB have a plan. What do you guys see for our future? P.S. Why did Andy Hart sound like a bitter old man yesterday? Boy, was he grumpy.
I was grumpy yesterday.
He always is grumpy.
No, it's been a tough week.
That was PJ. Yesterday's email was TG and NJ.
Okay. We just kind of talked a lot about that, the future and linebacker.
You cannot replace all the linebackers in 1 year.
No.
I don't think you can replace all of any position in 1 year. We've kind of seen it at wide receiver. It hasn't worked.
Right. Tom Casale checking in from
in a number of ways, digitally and in person.
Actually, in person now. The D-minus team of Fred and Tom. Please inform our board listeners that I have just received information that I will be giving out my NFL Game of the Year in the second hour of the show. Also, Dylan has opened.
Boy, I can't wait for him to fall flat on his face with his picks.
Dylan
too
has
hot
opened,
lately.
Dylan has opened up as an 80-1 favorite over Tomasi for Friday's showdown. The over-under is 12 seconds. I took the under.
That's true. We didn't really talk about the fact that.
Well, because I really don't think we need to.
Corey Dillon had a little run-in with another Herald writer today. John Tomasi.
He's an equal opportunity bully. He picks on all the Herald writers, not just one of them.
I am not Ted Sarandis.
Nope, you're not. But you are a...
Another one in Central America, Andy. Shane in Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Come from there, you know. Most bananas come from Costa Rica.
Good for you.
Oh,
little known fact. Most bananas.
I heard you guys talk about how this year's draft has not panned out this year. Well, that is an understatement. That's Tom Casale's
big time
lament. And really, the last 3 years, the drafts have not been very productive. Yeah, the first-round picks have been good, but they are supposed to be. I thought that Pioli's strength was to
just because they're supposed to be doesn't mean that every team that they are good.
Right. I thought that Pioli's strength was to find those hidden gems in later rounds, but it just hasn't happened. How many regular second-round or later starters have come out of the last three drafts? Andy's looking that up as we speak. How many are better than average? I know that it is hard to find these guys.
A lot of subjectivity coming up in this analysis.
I know that it's hard to find these guys on a consistent basis, but I think that the talent level on the Patriots has decreased because of this. I hope this starts to turn around because look at how teams like the Ravens manage to find talent year in and year out. Yeah, the Ravens are really – They've rattled off all those playoff wins over the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay, so what was my criteria?
Great teams built through the draft, add pieces through free agency, and re-sign key components. The Pats have done a poor job in all three areas. Good coaching and quarterback play will soon not be enough. I think we are already seeing these results.
And Andy, before
last three drafts, second round or later.
But before you go, let me just clarify what I said. I didn't say it wasn't panning out. I have a feeling that it may not. Like, there's a couple of players that I thought we thought might be good that I'm not so high on anymore. So it wasn't necessarily I was criticizing it now. It was more down the road.
And who is that? Chad Jackson obviously would be one of them.
Garrett Mills is another. A couple other later round picks have already.
Jeremy Mincy. I saw the man walk in the locker room and fell in love, and soon he was gone.
Just a couple of guys.
Second round or later starters for the last 3 years. Can you go back 3 years ago first?
So are we counting this year or are we just going 3, 4, 5?
We'll go 3 years ago. Anybody from the second round?
2003?
Yeah.
Eugene Wilson.
No. Go four.
I didn't know if you wanted to count this year.
Well, he's counting this year.
We're evaluating this year. Okay.
4, 5.
So 2004.
Nobody started from the second round on?
The only guy who's still here is Marquise Hill.
Okay, so I would say no.
That was a bad one.
05.
05. Ellis Hobbs.
Starter.
Sort of.
He's
Kasher.
A starter. And he's a quasi-starter.
James Sanders.
No.
Yeah, nothing else. Claridge Castle-Stokes.
Okay. 06.
And two of the starters you claimed may or may not actually be starters.
Ellis Hobbs is a starter, whether you call him a nickelback or not. That's a starter.
I thought he was a nickel and dime corner.
Well, that's some of the opinions.
Okay. This year, Chad Jackson, not a starter. Dave Thomas, not a starter. Garrett Mills doesn't play. Steven Goskowski is a starting kicker. Ryan O'Callaghan. Can't call him a starter and Kasher, too.
Well, I didn't call Kasher a starter.
Oh, I
said
you did.
He's a quasi-starter.
Oh, so I guess you can call both of them quasi-starters.
I would not call O'Callaghan a starter, and I would call Kasher a starter, because I think if Kasher was fully healthy, he would have been a starter coming out of camp.
And I guess using my criteria for Goskowski, that he's the starting kicker, Willie Andrews is the starting gunner.
Okay, so the point's taken. They haven't had a lot of starters coming out of the late rounds, not even the late rounds.
But what if we go back further? Let's see if...
Okay, go back to 03.
03, very successful. Wilson. Starter. No Johnson, no Klecko. Samuel, starter.
2.
Copen, starter.
3.
And Tully Bantakane, I guess, now a starter-ish?
I would call him
quasi-starter.
I would call him a quasi-starter.
We're the best.
Okay. Anybody else?
No.
02?
02.
Jarvis Green, I would call a quasi-starter.
Deion Branch is not a quasi-starter. He's a starter in a different team.
Yeah, but he doesn't count.
Why doesn't he count?
Because he's not here.
Oh, but he's still a starter.
But he's not here, Andy.
He's not here because he was so good, you didn't want to re-sign him for the money.
But you can't count him as a starter for your team when he's not here. Doesn't mean he was a bad pick. He was a good pick.
I disagree with that criteria. Jarvis Green, quasi-starter. David Givens, not here.
Tom, can you help me out on this?
I thought we were...
I stopped listening.
A guy's okay. A starter.
If the guy's not on the team anymore, can you count him as a starter for your team?
But he's saying Deion Branch is not a starter. He's not here because he was so good he priced himself out of your starting lineup.
But it doesn't do you any good, Andy, if you
don't... It means you hit too well and you had a second-round pick who you didn't want to pay like a first-round pick.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Tom says it was a good point.
I'm just... First of all, it's not even my lament here. It's the emailers.
DJ PJ? BJ?
Anyway, let's move on here. We got a couple more emails to get to in the last 10 minutes.
Before we really hit the idiocy when Fred arrives.
Right. Andy
Hank
is
Poteet Kirsch.
Andy's in Sioux City, Iowa.
No,
and
right here.
He says, I hope last week was just a bit of a letdown after dominating the Vikings. I can't see the Jets keeping this close, and I think the Patriots will win somewhat easily 31-17. I know these division games can be a little unpredictable, but I think the offense takes some frustration out on the Jets this week. I hate seeing Rodney out, but I hope that the rest of them, I hope they rest him until he is close to 100% because we will need him in the playoffs more than we need him now. What do you think of that, Andy?
Who?
Rodney.
You definitely would need him in the playoffs more than you need him now, but if and when he returns, you're already saying that he wasn't at the level he was last year when he was injured and went away for the season. What level is he going to be now after missing another 4, 6, 8 weeks and... Is he a guy that you're going to be able to just bring in and say, okay, we're going to go to Indy and take on the high-powered Colts, and we're going to throw Rodney Harrison in the lineup after having not played?
Okay, Dwayne is next up. He has some notes here. While watching the game, one question dawned on me. Why is Kevin Falk even playing on offense? What can he do that Maroney can't? Every now and then, Kevin Falk fumbles, but every now and then, Maroney breaks one for a touchdown. So again, I ask, why even put Kevin Falk on offense?
Then I ask the same question I asked before. Why is he on the team?
He should be kept on special teams and should only see the field on offense in case of injury or in a five-wide package. Anyone agree?
Agreed.
I still think he's your third down change of pace back.
Nice package.
Although I said he hasn't made as many. His pro side of the ledger and negative side of the ledger are getting too close.
Are we comparing Maroney's ability to catch the ball with Kevin Falk's? Because if we are, I'm putting the brakes on the rambling road to Canton for Lawrence Maroney, because he has not demonstrated the fact that he can
catch
the ball.
That road goes through Tom Casale's living room. I don't know if you know.
He's dropped as many passes this year as he's caught.
But Falk's play is declining a little bit.
A little bit.
No question about that.
We discussed it earlier, and we kind of agreed that we may have seen the best of Falk, and we're on.
Right.
And he's taken a lot of big hits. He's undersized.
We talked about that. Andy made that comparison earlier, and I do think that this probably in Phil actually in Austin called in Tom and pointed out that Kevin Falk has the 10th highest cap number on the team.
Oh, really?
So that could mean danger.
Snipsky.
Dwayne finishes up. He says, also, I know you guys make your picks today, and I would like to point out that I made the upset of the week pick last week.
Oh, that's the guy, the Dolphins?
With Miami over Chicago. Anyone who followed that up with a money line play had a fat payday. Upset of the week, Cleveland over Atlanta.
Where's that game?
In Cleveland, I think.
Well, it's plausible.
Let's go to the videotape. Let's check it out.
That's not my game of the year, so I'm not.
It's in Atlanta.
I think that's a possibility.
AFC, NFC.
Yeah.
So.
Plus, Michael Vick is no longer a Hall of Fame passer again.
But Atlanta is the only team that's
right,
immune
Atlanta's,
to that AFC,
Atlanta's
NFC
the
theory.
Team that beats the AFC.
They just can't beat the NFC teams.
Sort of a problem, no?
I'll tell you, that Falcons team is very predictable in my mind. I mean, it looks like they're unpredictable, but you know that when you expect them to win, they're going to lose. And when you expect them to lose, they're going to win.
Predictably unpredictable? Unpredictably predictable?
How do they get blasted by Detroit?
Well, Detroit, Kevin Jones.
Mr. Touchdown, they were calling him last week. Did you see that on the highlights?
Mr. Hart Foundation.
There you go.
I'm like Tony Kornheiser. All I care about is fantasy points.
All right, let's see here. Brian is in Colorado. He says, what the hey? You're not travel agents, surfers, CIA agents, or kayakers. Why would you need to know where Nicaragua is?
Exactly. Who bleeping cares?
He calls us geographically challenged.
Right up until the point where we're playing a game in Nicaragua.
but we were right.
Yeah, well, you were. I had no idea.
We were guessing.
I had no flipping idea.
Anyway, is Chad Jackson doing that much worse than the other highly drafted wide receivers, Santana Holmes and Sonoris Moss?
Santonio Holmes.
Moss is hurt.
Santonio Holmes plays more than Jackson.
A lot more, and Moss is injured.
And he has the misfortune of playing with a guy who's, you know, playing like the worst quarterback in football.
And Greg Jennings, who was drafted relatively in the same area, is playing a lot more and producing a lot more as well.
Not only that, Tom, someone called up to take issue with you.
Yeah.
Someone emailed in saying that when we made that trade with Green Bay and traded up to get Chad Jackson, you called us, you termed it that we raped the Packers.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what I thought.
He now turns out that the Packers raped us because they took Greg Jennings.
Got a better player and, you know.
That's true.
And a better pick.
Well, that's why it's draft day. We got to wait and see, you know. I think, I was just going to say, I think after 8 weeks, that's long enough to make a decision. Chad Jackson stinks.
After 8 weeks, yeah. It's long enough to make a decision.
Look at that douchebag.
See what I said? I still think Chad Jackson is the far more talented player. It just doesn't mean he's going to be the better player.
No, I agree. And I was joking with Bill said today in his press conference, it takes a different amount of time for younger players to develop. Apparently for Marquise Hill, it takes 10 years.
Apparently we do.
At 32, he's going to be good.
We do have a couple of redshirt years and a couple of years where he can just screw around doing nothing for a while before he becomes a starter. Anyway, I do think, as we pointed out, I do think there's a little bit of a difference here talking about the caliber of defensive line that Marquise Hill is trying to crack into and the caliber of receiving core that Chad Jackson
really held back Mike Wright
is seemingly trying to work his way into. Anyway, Brian finishes up his email here. Do you think the Patriots missed the boat on judging Jackson's character? Do you think the team relies too much on their personal connections with college coaches?
That's possible.
Well, can I just mention something?
That's a good answer, Andy.
It is possible.
I totally disagree with Bill Belichick on something. the sophisticated passing attack of
Florida. Yeah, I looked over at you in the press conference, and you didn't. I thought you were going to react.
But there's a difference though,
because when Zook was there, his first 2 years, they did have a.
Well, he did in explaining himself. He did say that he had an opportunity to be on the outside 2 years ago,
right.
And then move to the slot, which I think that was what he was talking about, is that he experienced different things.
Right. He had the opportunity to go from a school record like 23 yards a catch down to like 9.
But that all that
offense they run right now is abysmal.
All it's doing is costing Chris Leak money. That's all it's doing. It's dropping him to the late first.
Fred Kirsch looking to chime in.
Here comes Fred.
Speaking of things that we disagree with, I was listening to
blue
the press
socks with brown
today.
Pants.
And Belichick mentioned that rather than go into the season with expectations, he goes in to see performance. But you got to have some expectation.
Exactly.
How can you possibly plan for your team and not expect anything off the guys that at least you've had before?
Right.
How can you plan a roster?
We know
he's taking semantics there to a new level, because obviously how could you be prepared
right.
as well as you could possibly be if you truly don't have any idea
right.
what kind of performance
you
any of your
you
players
you couldn't establish
are
a playbook, a game plan,
so
anything.
That's an example.
I just didn't
think he wanted to play. I think it was Tony Maserati asking.
Yeah.
I don't think he just wanted to play ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, no, I think that was clear.
Yeah.
That was clear, without question. All right. So you hear the voices of Fred and Tom. That means it's about time to go around the NFL.
Ball in the hole.
Big money this week.
Tom's got to make some more money and some more prizes from James.
But bookies
and Indiana
everywhere.
Anyway.
Got a big upset coming in college. Big upset.
We'll get to those picks as soon as we get back.
Breaks the tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
First round draft pick in 2004. To only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Exclusively from New Orleans Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet. Autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed in Rams, limited to the first 400. Qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Okay, we're back here at BFW in Progress, and it's Thursday, and that means it's time to go around the NFL with our picks, both outright and for entertainment purposes only. And it's Fred, Andy, Tom, and Paul, as it is always, Gary in the booth. And it's going to be an interesting week. This season's wide open.
Easy week.
I think I would say that except for the Colts, Denver, and San Diego, I don't know what team's going to come out for any team week to week. You know, and San Diego, I might even take out of there.
I take all of them out of there.
Yeah,
Colts aren't that good. They won.
Denver gave up 450 passing yards last week.
Yeah, but they're winning.
Take all of them out of there. There's no dominant team this year. No great teams. There's a mix of eight or so teams.
Yeah,
that's it.
No, there's like four or five good teams, and the rest stink.
I think there's a few more than that.
All right,
I think they're all in the mix.
Before we get into
they're all blender. Yeah. They're all the same.
Before we get into this week's picks, let's
go to Paul, who's not quite.
Not ready.
Apparently. We're not quite ready for that live shot.
Paul, what have you been doing all week?
Paul's not ready. You want me to give you my college picks while Paul's
doing
this?
Give your college upset special.
Thursday night, Rutgers over Louisville, getting the 7.5 and outright. Saturday, Auburn, Georgia. Georgia's getting 13. They're 18-9 lifetime in Auburn. 13 out of the last 15 road team has won that game. Take Georgia with the points. I like Maryland.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a surprise.
No, that's not my big one, though.
The big one involves
I like Maryland, 3.5 over Miami. No one likes to profit off death, except, of course, me. So I like Maryland because I think they're just better anyway. And then, you know, next week we got Ohio State, Michigan, undefeated. We'll be on the plane, right? Everything's
oh, but wait!
Not so fast, my friend. Lee Corso style. Lee Corso used to coach the University of Indiana. This has been Lloyd Carr has been leading his team up to this upset for the last 3 weeks. Indiana can throw the ball down the field, getting 20 points, could upset Michigan at home this week. You heard it here first.
Could upset.
Yeah. What was that? Could.
Yeah. Play? Yeah. Are they going to
whimper out? Say yes or no.
Outright. Okay. I think I'm just saying.
Say could.
Well, I don't
will.
Want
people, will. Will.
They will upset
Thank
Michigan.
You,
you heard
Indiana
it here.
Indiana over Michigan
at home. They've been tough at
Sally
home.
Wrong
they've
again.
Some good. They've been beating some good. Well, they definitely come within 20. So that's all that matters. But I'm saying I'm calling.
A lot of Wolverines crying in the beer if that happens.
You could see it coming. A couple of weeks ago, Lloyd Carr's coaching took over. Ball State almost took him out last week at home. I know Ohio State played bad last week, but that was one game. It wasn't three in a row.
How's Indiana?
At home, they're tough. Okay. And they got a passing game. They don't run the football. That's what Michigan's strong against. Throw the football down the field, upset city.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Bold moves.
So I got three. I got three big underdogs with Rutgers, Georgia, and Indiana, and then I got the bereavement pick with Maryland over Miami.
Fred, should they be playing?
What?
Should they be playing?
Yes.
Why?
In honor of the kid. The kid would
Fred
want it.
Fred didn't
happen.
Even know the kid died
How do you
until
know?
I told him this
do
morning,
know the
just
kid?
So you know.
Right. I love when people say that. The kid would want it that way. How do you know? Have
he
you
was
ever
on
talked
the team.
To him?
He was
Shouldn't
on the team.
Coaches yeah, and administrators know better?
Hey, Andy, when I die, I don't want anyone saying Tom would want it this way. You say no one knows what that crazy SOB's thinking.
I'll tell you right now, if I'm ever involved in anything like that, I'll be sure to say, I got to be honest with you, I worked for Tom for several years. I never had any idea what was on that guy's
Thank
mind.
Thank you. That's what I right. want.
Just so you know, when Tom dies, I'm not writing stories that week. And, taking the week off.
And also, I don't want
Tom would have wanted it that way.
Yeah, and also, don't say what a good person I was. I can't
I sure
that.
As heck won't say that.
Yeah. Whenever someone dies, like my idiot uncle, we have to go around talking about how great he was. The guy was a jerk.
I'm going to say you were a passionate pop-off.
Good. Tell it like it is.
All right.
Okay. Last week, Andy Hart won the week.
Woohoo!
9-5.
First ever.
It had to happen at some
first
point.
First since we went to the spreads.
I was next at 8. Oh, you didn't. Actually, you did win by the spread.
Suck it, Trebek.
9-5 for Andy. I was next at 8-6. Tom was 7-7. Fred, 5-9.
Yeah, I had a tough week. Tough
okay.
week.
Reality has set back in here in the picks contest.
Against the spreads, Andy was 7-7.
Oh, I'm only 500.
Fred was 6-8, and Tom and Paul were 5-9.
All right.
What happened to that 7-1 I gave James?
Yeah, where were those picks?
Here you go.
I don't,
for the season.
I don't pick pro football. I pick college.
Okay. For the season now, things tightening up. Tom and Paul tied for the lead at 78-50. Fred and Andy, one game back at 77-51.
Wow.
Those records suck.
Yeah.
They certainly do. Not even 30 games over 500 halfway through the season. Against the spread, you want to talk suck. Against the spread, Tom still leads 32-34-2.
Oh, you fell below 500 though. Huh?
Well, Fred is
bound
to happen.
Fred is next 31-35-2. Then Andy at 28-38-2.
Not in the basement, baby.
Me at 27-39-2.
Wow.
That's why there's only a few professional gamblers in the world.
Okay.
So I can only pick the winners. I can't tell you by how many, evidently. I'm first and again, just picking winners and last against the spread.
I mean, pick a winner.
Further proving, disproving the point that Brian Moore used to make, that it's just as hard to pick the winner as it is by the spread.
No, that's not
the true. Point's been proven. Brian Moore was an idiot.
Wow.
This is true.
It is what it is.
His body's still warm.
Where's the rest of my stuff? Where's my notebook?
What are you looking for?
Oh, never mind. My notebook is right here. I'm an idiot. Go ahead.
I agree.
So let's get into, what is this, week 10?
It's week 10, yes. Everybody is now
at the point in the year where I stop knowing the difference between the week and the game.
Everybody's played 8 games from that, so
I keep forgetting who I'm doing in the preview.
Right.
Are there any more buys?
No.
No more buys. Everybody's played 8 games.
Flex scheduling, no more buys.
So we get a lot of games to talk about this week.
Always something to confuse me.
So let's get going. Sunday at 1, we'll begin with the Baltimore Ravens traveling to Tennessee to take on the Titans. And Baltimore, the number is 7. Baltimore's favored by 7.
I'm going to take the Ravens to win and cover. I think they're the better team. I fear for the life of my good friend Vince Young this week. Hopefully his good buddy Steve McNair will go over to the defensive side of the ball and call off the dogs. Otherwise, I think it'll get ugly. I think the only time Tennessee had a little burst there was when Travis Henry was rushing for some 178 yards or whatever. I just don't think they have anything going on offense, really, with any consistency against a pretty good defense. So I think the Ravens win easy on the road.
Okay.
Well, Andy, you know how we talked about spots? I thought last week was a bad spot for Tennessee. I think this week is a good spot for them. I'm going to take the Ravens to win, but I think Tennessee's defense keeps them in the game and keeps the number close.
Yep. Paul.
I'm going to go with Andy. I'm going to say Baltimore, both sides. Just not real. I thought that Tennessee was making some strides, and then last week, maybe Tom's right. Maybe Tom was just a bad spot, but last week kind of showed me that it was more the opposition where Tennessee was making strides in winning a couple of games and being more competitive. I don't see it against Baltimore. Baltimore's the ultimate bully. They'll get up on Tennessee and they'll
beat the snot out of my boy.
Kick dirt.
Well, that's
the
thing.
Somebody tell him to get down.
With Vince Young quarterbacking, you know, you worry about Baltimore's defense. I still think that Baltimore isn't the team that
they stink.
They think they are.
They're the worst 6-2 team.
One thing
in
to watch out there, though, they blitz a lot.
Yeah.
Vince Young breaks that containment.
Well, I'm going to rely on Jeff Fisher's coaching in this
game. You're turning more and more into Lee Corso every day, just so you know. And that's not something you want to aspire to.
I'm going to rely on Jeff Fisher's coaching to keep this game within 7. Ravens win. Tennessee covers. All
right. Did I ever tell you called my father a greaseball?
Did he?
Yeah. He goes, you're a greaseball, right?
Lee Corso?
Is that not okay?
He's old school. They used to do that back then.
Well, plus he's Italian, so I guess he thought he could get away with it.
So all right.
That makes it okay. That's the rule.
Oh, no. My father was very offended.
Was he?
Yeah.
What am I?
My father's a pretty easygoing guy.
What am I, a honky? So I can call
Yeah, but if you're, honkies? if you're African-American, you can call the
other. Yeah, the N-word.
Yeah.
What did you
but
pick,
I just need
Fred?
To know what group I'm aligned with that I can get away with it.
What did you pick?
I don't think any.
Ravens to win, Titans to cover. Okay, Bills at the Colts. And, of course, the Colts coming off their big win. And let's see, where are they?
Oh, eating bags of chips, and Gary's got steak tips behind the glass.
The Colts are favored by 12 at home.
Only 12 here, huh? That's like stealing.
That's because of the Bills' defense.
Were they playing?
Bills at Colts, 12.
Bills at Colts. I think the Colts will kill them. So, thank you.
All right.
Colts.
Colts both ways?
That's all I got to say, yeah.
Okay. And, Paul.
Yeah, the Bills stink. So, I'll go with the Colts, even though they're coming off that emotional win. That's my only fear is that they...
Emotional wins. That's the... Yeah, I didn't think of that.
That's my only fear is that they're coming off an emotional win and maybe they have a letdown. But
Who's the backup running back? Is it Shad Williams? Is he still there?
Anthony Thomas.
Thomas.
For,
Anthony Thomas, no
fear. A-Train ain't going anywhere. Bakery ain't open yet.
No fear.
Everybody can run on that team.
No fear.
Everybody can run on that team.
McGahee's
got
broken ribs.
The second
ribs.
Half when they call off the dog.
McGahee's not even playing. He's out indefinitely.
Two broken ribs.
Yeah, you got to go with the Colts both ways. Okay. Browns at the Falcons. And Atlanta is favored by 8 points. In this
I'm going to go with my little role reversal here. I'm going to start taking advice from emailers. And I'm going to go with the Browns or the upset special to win outright. Against the Falcons.
Okay.
For no other reason than, what's that guy's name? Jim? Was it Jim?
The wrestling goon?
I forgot.
Whoever emailed in, he was right with the Dolphins. Hey, maybe he's on a hot streak and knows something.
Dwayne,
you the man, Dwayne.
Yeah, I definitely think the Browns could win the game. I'm going to go with the Falcons at home because they do play well against AFC teams that kind of don't know Vic and his style. But I'll take the points with the Browns.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to echo Tom's sentiments. I think Atlanta probably finds a way to win the game, but I'm going to play a hunch and say that Romeo keeps it close.
I'm going to go with Atlanta both ways. All right.
Well, that's pretty good. We got all over the board on that one.
Sunday at 1, still Green Bay travels to Minnesota.
Hey.
And Minnesota's favored by 5.5. 5.5 points.
Minnesota by 5.5. I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to take my man Amon Green. I think Minnesota stinks.
Well, that laugh you heard was when you told me that they were favored by 5.5 over someone for the second week in a row. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to break it. I'm taking Green Bay. I think the Vikings, I think they're heading in the wrong direction. There's going to be a quarterback change there soon. Definitely the number is too high there, Green Bay.
Well, you'd think to cover a 5.5 point spread,
you
need
score
to score more than three points, which you just scored.
You took them out, right?
Yeah, Green Bay.
Okay, I'm going to take Minnesota to win the game at home against a very bad team, but I guess I'll take the points. I'll go with Green Bay. Green
I guess I'll take the points.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Minnesota both ways. I think that Minnesota does have a good run defense. I think it's all going to be up to Favre.
Looks like we're going to call this Separation Sunday, Tom, because his picks are all over the map.
Minnesota scores a couple defensive touchdowns and kind of
I got no problem
wins comfortably.
So far, we've only agreed on one game out of the four that we've chosen.
That's good.
What was
I think
that?
It's
the Colts?
Good. Colts.
All right. The Texans travel to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars, and Jacksonville's got a double-digit margin, 10.5 points.
I'll take the Jags to win the game at home because I think they, as Tom has pointed out many times, are a different team at home. Quarterback situation, Garrard staying in?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll. This is a tough one. I'll take them to cover, too. I don't think the Texans are tough enough to go on the road and stay tight in this one. I think they'll get beat up on, and one of those late turnovers could swing it, even if they can stay in it for most of the game.
Okay.
Yeah, the Texans went on the road last week and almost beat the Giants, so I don't know if that's a sign that they're kind of turning the corner maybe a little bit, but they already beat Jacksonville in Houston, and with the Jaguars being so tough at home, I think they more than likely will lay one on them. But the Texans are a team to watch as maybe possibly turn the corner. But for now, I'll go Jacksonville both ways.
Okay, Paul?
I'm going to take Jacksonville to win, but I'm going to take Houston to cover. I think Houston has a little something going on Jacksonville. It's not just the first meeting this year. They kept him out of the playoffs with a key late-season win a couple years ago.
So big a spread.
Well, because I mean, you go by talent. I mean, there's a big difference in the teams. Jacksonville's much better than Houston. Tom's right about that.
I'm not the only person who knows that Jacksonville plays good at home either. The people who do this a lot know that too.
You know, and I'm going to take the points because I think Houston is one of those teams. And with Garrard, they've won the games, but you know, especially the one in Philadelphia, they didn't do a whole lot offensively. Garrard certainly didn't do a whole lot even last week against Tennessee. So I think the score stays down, they win the game, and Houston finds a way to cover.
Interesting situation to keep an eye on, by the way, I think, because there's the injury to Leftwich, but he said he's healthy to play. And then I heard one of the national pundits say that they had begun, 2007 is the end of his rookie contract, they'd begun talks on a possible extension. His agent is Tom Condon, and there's some thought that Condon came in with an initial proposal that wasn't even in the realm of possibility for the Jags, and they've sort of said, well, if he's not going to be here beyond next year, why don't we find out what we have in Garrard, and maybe that's our quarterback for now in
the future. Yeah, I've heard that, and I also think that I think Del Rio was a little upset with Leftwich because the first time they played Houston, he convinced him that he was healthy, and then he hobbled all over the field and was miserable, and they lost the game. And I think that he felt like he wasn't really being honest with them.
And some would say the same thing happened here last year.
Well, no doubt about that. But
some would say you're an idiot of a coach if you listen to the guy. Right. You need to evaluate. A guy is always going to say, "I want to play. I'm healthy."
And again, this might be Del Rio covering his butt
El
too.
Dumbo.
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is from the coaches, but I think that he felt like he probably wanted to play Garrard the first time they played Houston. And Leftwich kind of convinced him that he was healthy enough to go, and he wasn't. So I think this time around, as long as they're winning, they're going to play Garrard until they know Leftwich is 1,000% healthy.
All right. Well, in this game, I'm going to take the Jags and the Texans.
I think their defense is
Del Rio.
All right. Coming off a big, big win against the Bears are the Miami Dolphins, and they're being visited by the Kansas City Chiefs. And let's see what we got here. Kansas City. Where do they have? Kansas City's favored by a mere point in this game.
So they're being visited by the Chiefs, huh?
Yes.
I'll take the Chiefs. I'm riding this Damon Heward parade. I like him. He's revenge factor. His former team just going to come in there slinging. And he's now playing, I think, week to week for a job. To, you know, the more he can put a little bit of security on that job, you can't go away from him, I don't think. The way he's played, the way he's helped the team. Larry Johnson, I think, will run with some success. And maybe a little letdown after a
play
big win for the Dolphins.
To win the game.
That's right. So I'm taking the Chiefs, baby.
Unless you go with Tom and say that Miami is a good non-pressure team.
That's a possibility.
That's what I'm going with. This would have been my biggest play of the week until I got my tip. So I like the Dolphins at home. I think probably they're going to do similar.
What do you mean?
I got tips. I think the Chiefs, I think Damon Heard's going to lay an egg in this game finally. I think they can control Larry Johnson.
Definitely do.
Yeah, he's due. I'm playing the odds here. I think they can control Larry Johnson, not stop him, but control him. And I like the Dolphins to rack up another win as they prove to everyone that they're a bunch of frauds.
I think Tom's rationale is right. I think that Larry Johnson, you got to figure, isn't going to run wild against Miami. I'm going to take Kansas City just because I think they're a better team, but you got to figure that the Damon Heward pumpkin is going to, the bubble's got to burst at some point.
But I don't expect him to throw the ball to Jason Taylor, who's like 7 yards in front of him and nobody around him.
And then we got to hear how great Jason Taylor still is.
Right. You do know that he's
Paul Perillo could have made that play.
second leading passer in the NFL, you know, is Damon Heward.
Oh, I know.
I don't think there's any
I
way.
I love him.
I don't think there's any way that you can go back to Trent Green. Trent Green was not playing at a level anywhere near what Damon Heward has played the last 7 games. And I feel bad for Trent Green because it seems like his M.O. He plays. He's reasonably good. He gets hurt. And the guy that comes in plays great. It happened with Kurt Warner, and it's happening again now.
See Tom on the TV right now, that fancy machinery that sucks leaves up. That's what Fred has for his yard when he's out working hard cleaning the yard. It's an oversized vacuum that just sucks up all the dirt, leaves, sticks, everything.
Yeah, but is that Brian Morey running it?
I like that, though.
DNR, that company, I get their catalog. They got great stuff.
But it's expensive, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah, but you're rich, right?
No. All right, I'm going to take Miami in this game.
Those and those fancy headphones.
Ty Law, when he goes down to Florida, gets distracted because he gets has a lot of stuff going on down there. So
and people are betting his picks.
All right.
In Australia.
All right, we'll skip over the Sunday at 1 game. With the Patriots, we'll keep going Sunday at 1. A lot of games this week. The Colts at Cincinnati. This is
by the Chargers at Cincinnati.
I mean the Bolts. I meant the Bolts at Cincinnati.
You stink.
Let's see. What do we got here? San Diego.
Superchargers.
S-A-N. They are favored by
D, just so you know.
They're favored by just a point.
In Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati. A little bit surprising. I figured they might have a little bit more of a...
Maybe someone knows something.
I figured
don't.
They'd have more of a bulge than that.
You know something? You got a tip?
Maybe.
What's your tip?
Maybe people
is this your NFL lock that you've been waiting for?
It might be. That's not
I'm
my
taking
turn.
The Chargers on the road in Cincinnati. Better team, tougher team. Bengals blow it up. They got infighting, outfighting, criminals, people that aren't playing well, the whole thing, blow it up.
And well, as much as I predicted that he would pick the wrong way in my...
I was going to say, we're going to try to read what he had a tip for.
I'm trying to be right. I'm okay. About being right, okay. And I'm going to be right.
That's fine. I thought you were trying to go with it.
Opened up at San Diego -3. I'm told by Game Time that Cincinnati will be a 3-point favorite in this game. I know somebody close to this kind of stuff. I'm not going to tell you how much he's putting on the game because we don't need to get into that. But he's had one other huge game this year, and it was the Bears at home against Seattle, and he had Chicago. He does lose from time to time, but he doesn't lose that often in games like this. And he has told me that Cincinnati is his largest play of the season in any sport so far.
Really?
So because of that, I'm going to have to... And listen, this isn't the type of guy who looks at the...
What's the tip?
But he doesn't... That's the tip. He doesn't look at the game and go, well, I think the passing offense is going to do this. Those type of people look at different things. It's not like matchups
on the field.
So what's
he looking at?
He's,
what makes him go that way?
He knows things that are some
Danny and Tomlinson dead?
No, he knows line moves. Let me tell you something. When you open this, when the line opens up at 3 and 20 minutes later it drops to 1, that's what he's looking at. People know something. You brought it up, Fred, before I mentioned a word. You said, boy, I thought the line would be much higher in this game. Did you not say that?
I did say
that. Who'd you think was going to be favored?
I thought the Colts were playing the Bengals.
Oh, because I think being a road favorite over a team that, you know, is not terrible, but it was supposed to be better than they are, I think being a road favorite is interesting.
Okay.
But, well, so, you know, Cincinnati's got all these problems, blah, 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 but I say they break out of it because of my tip, and that's basically what I'm going on. Is this my NFL game of the year?
So Cincinnati to win and cover?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll take San Diego.
Yeah, I'm going to go with San Diego, too.
It's only one game we give him in the standings for his tip.
I'll make a mistake this time. If I'm wrong, next time I'll listen to your guy.
I concur with Fred. Next time I'll go with the tip.
Okay. Okay.
Why don't you get off the kid's tip?
Just the tip.
All right, Sunday at 1, San Francisco at Detroit.
It's a little game we play.
And Detroit is favored by 6 points in this game.
Over who?
49ers.
Detroit over 49ers. Where's the game being played?
In Detroit.
In Detroit.
Due to some sexual content, parental discretion is
just
advised.
The tip.
We should play that on the beginning of every PFW in progress.
What's the spread?
Six.
Okay, so Detroit over San Francisco by 6. I'll take Detroit to win and go the other way. Forget it. Erase that, Paul. Sorry to mess up your notebook. San Francisco, win in cover. Win outright.
Really?
Everything. Yeah, San Francisco. Defense does enough. I'm never betting.
You're not
going
to take San Francisco to win and Detroit to cover?
That is a terrible pick.
Nope, that's a winning pick.
That is
a Lions
awful
stink.
Why do you get so mad at him?
I'm just saying, that pick stinks.
The Lions stink.
San Francisco,
you know what stinks?
No,
the Lions.
The Lions have kind of come
Lions
along
stink.
A little
I'm
bit.
I'm saying, but they're kind of
over. San Francisco on the road has been brutal. I mean, you talk about
don't
a
you
team
worry about it.
They haven't come within 30 of anybody on the road. I'm taking the Lions to win. That's another one of those lines. You look at it and say 6. Well, that's 6 for a reason. I'm taking the Lions both ways.
Watch and learn, my son.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Lions, too.
Me,
both,
too. Both ways.
I picked up a game on everybody, baby, in both columns.
All right, the final Sunday at one game, except for the Patriots, is the Redskins at Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is a 7-point favorite.
Who made that line?
Andy? Brian Westbrook.
Where's the game? Washington at Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Philadelphia, Washington. Interesting. I'm taking the Eagles to win outright and cover. I think the Redskins stink.
Okay.
I picked the Eagles to win the NFC East. I was wrong. They won't even make the playoffs. I think they're heading in the wrong direction. I hate to go with the Redskins here, but I just think the Eagles are in some trouble. So I'm going to go Washington.
All right.
Upset.
Tough week for Tom this week.
It's tough.
I'm going to take the Eagles to win the game, and I'm going to go with the Redskins to cover. Don't really know why. Just think 7's a little too much for a team that's lost 3 in a row.
This is a tough one. Yeah, I guess I'll go with the Eagles to win, Redskins to cover.
Because Paul did?
No. I would have done that anyway. All right, that's it for the 1 o'clock games. Gary, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Broncos at Oakland.
Playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ. the best I've ever seen.
You can get an official new replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and the free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want to contact too. Autographed in the limited edition for first quarter week. Qualifying purchase details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on, baby, let's go.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
When you got a Rhineland-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sunbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Okay, back here in PFW in progress. We're going around the NFL as we always do on Thursday. And when we left off, we had finished with the 1 o'clock games and moved on to the 4 o'clock games. We'll start with the Broncos visiting Oakland to take on the hot Raiders. And the number here, Denver is favored by 9 points.
I thought that would be double digits. I'll take
Oh, Rob Ryan's defense.
I don't care. Rob Ryan's
friend's defense is Ryan.
Tom Walsh. Who, what's his name? Bill Walsh?
Tom Walsh.
Not Bill Walsh. The opposite end of the Walsh spectrum from Bill Walsh. Yeah, I'll take the Broncos to win big. The Raiders stink. They won't make any they won't make the mistakes for Denver that the Raiders need them to make for the Raiders to even be in the game. So, Broncos win easy.
Well, I didn't hear if you said the line was 9 or 90, but it doesn't matter to me, because if that same team that I saw Monday night is going to play the Broncos, forget it, because the Broncos kill the Raiders when they're
right.
decent in Oakland. They own them in Oakland, and I don't see any reason why Shanahan's going to let up. I don't think they'll be as conservative as they were for some reason when the last time they were on Monday night. Freaking Raiders are on Monday Night Football.
Three times. Yeah. They've had three primetime games in the first 9 weeks of the season.
I think he's seen them now. He'll open it up a little bit on them, and it'll be one of those 30-3 games.
All right.
I'm going to take Denver both sides, but I'm not nearly as confident about covering as two partners, because Denver just doesn't score a lot.
I agree, but I just think with the Raiders, he hates them so much that he opens it up more.
And they only scored 13 the last time,
but
despite the fact that they hated him so much.
But that was back when he was playing that conservative, and you know, I think they've opened it up the last couple of weeks on offense.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to reluctantly go with Denver both sides in this game.
Reluctantly. I thought the number was going to be like 14.
They haven't scored 14. They've scored 14 in a game twice all year.
Stink. I think the Raiders
It is 11.5.
Well, I do too, but I don't think I don't have that much confidence in the Broncos offense. But I'll go with it.
Well, I'm just looking at this as they only need to score 10 to cover.
Win 10-0.
That's it. All right. Dallas, it's 4:15 on Sunday, traveling to Arizona to take on those Cardinals. And Dallas is favored by 7 points this game.
I'll take the Cowboys to win, but I'm going to take the points. I think Mr. Romo is due for a crap-ass game, and I think he's going to have it this week.
Let me ask you a question. Has Bill Parcells' cachet to go into the Hall of Fame gone down? Is he such a sure thing?
Oh, he'll go.
He'll go, but his cachet has come down.
Well,
he's
not enough to make someone second guess.
He'll still be in the Hall of Fame, but he's lost some of his image.
But
isn't it the body of work?
I mean,
yeah, and his body of work is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, he'll still go.
I heard somebody on Sirius Radio today, and it was one. I think it might have been Chris Carter or somebody like that. He said Parcells is a quitter. He quit on the Giants, he quit on the Jets, he quit in New England, and he will quit in Dallas.
And he might, but you know what? He took the Patriots to a Super Bowl. He won a couple Super Bowls in New York. That, to me, that right there almost is enough to get you in.
Oh, Bill Belichick won those Super Bowls.
Right. I thought Romeo Crennel won.
The one problem I think with Parcells, you know what the problem is with Parcells?
Wow, I like that admission.
I think he was retired, and I think he was somewhat happy, and Jerry Jones made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Well, he needed money.
Well, and that's what I think. I think this time he came back more for the money than the desire to coach, because I just don't see the same Bill Parcells on the sideline.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, he's kissing people. That's not
then
Parcells.
He's turning the hat sideways, all funny with
you know. If he was a 500 coach, being his old self, I would respect that a lot more. Just saying, you know, maybe it's just not connecting with the players, but he just doesn't seem to be Bill Parcells to me anymore.
Okay.
And who is he?
Oh, you already picked?
His nickname is Big Dog, but I call him the Poodle.
After dominating out in the desert for years, the Cowboys, I think, have lost three straight there. I'll take them to win, but I'm going to go with Andy. Something tells me that they'll find a way to play it close.
You got to keep an eye on those two.
I'm going to take the Cowboys
Tom?
To win and cover. I just think Arizona's all done and playing out the string, and, you know, the a lot of dead men walking in Arizona.
Fitzgerald back this week. I'm not saying.
I'm not saying that this means Dallas is great. This is more a pick against Arizona and the fact that I think that they're cashing it in.
Yeah, I'm going to go. This is my upset special of the week.
Oh,
I'm
going
to go with the Cardinals to win this game.
Wow, it's another good game where we have Dallas, Arizona, Arizona, and Dallas in Arizona. So we have
separation Sunday.
Wait, who did I take?
You took Dallas and Tom took Dallas in Arizona to cover. I picked Dallas to win in cover. Fred picked Arizona to win.
Basically, my pick is just to see how bad it can get in Dallas.
It's three different games.
Really
that we covered all
increase
scenarios.
The drama. I want more of a soap opera.
I do like the ongoing theme that every time he has an upset pick, it still has something to do with the Patriots. Like
right.
Parcells used to coach here.
No, I pointed that out to you several weeks ago, and now you're starting to see it.
Yep.
And you notice the. You know,
I just want to see how dramatic it can get in Dallas.
Every game that he picks, if it's a little bit out of the box, has some sort of expatriate connotation to it.
Parcells didn't teach
Miami will beat Kansas City because Ty Law will be distracted in South Beach. You know, every game that he picks has something to do with an expatriate.
I thought that was the best piece of analyzing that we've done since we started this.
All right.
Doesn't teach Belichick squat.
Tom's like, people are betting on that.
Tom's offended as an ex-gambler. Yeah. What? And this offends you as a Jewish person?
That would offend me
as a comedian.
Let's see. New Orleans travels to Pittsburgh, and New Orleans. Let's see. I'm assuming that they're favored. Trying to find where they are here.
I wouldn't make that assumption.
You're right, because Pittsburgh's favored by 4 at home.
Pittsburgh favored by 4.
Now, that surprises me, Tom. Can you shed a little light on that?
It surprises me that it's that high, but it doesn't surprise me that they're favored.
What surprises you is the spreads in that newspaper.
Yeah, well, we're going just, by the Boston
right.
Herald,
it's just
by the
a
way.
Different casino than the one you use online offshore.
I just check them. What does that mean? I just check the lines.
But an AFC team at home, I think, is going to be favored against an NFC team more often than not, even if it's a 2-6 AFC team.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely take the Saints to cover. I'm going to take the Saints to win outright. Steelers, pack it in. As they said, they're auditioning for roles for next year. I don't think that sits well with some of those players on that team. I'm not sure if Joey Porter's a good late-season type audition for next year guy, and some of those other guys they have, and Roethlisberger just still way out of whack. And
what are the Steelers, 2-6 now?
Yeah. This is the lost season in Pittsburgh, and whatever you want to attribute it to, it continues to be lost.
Karma.
Well, who was it on the Steelers just last week said it just seems like we got our ring, and now it's like, what are we out of?
Willie Parker said something.
Something like that, yeah.
So I got to be honest with you, I don't really – watching them play, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I just think that it's a culmination of mistakes in starting with the quarterback in June.
Yeah.
You know, and you can say that had something to do with they won last year, so he's out riding a motorcycle, but I don't really see the connection.
No.
He wasn't riding a motorcycle because they won.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's just snowballed from there.
I think some of it
they're
was
lucky
just bad
to be
luck,
2-6.
Too.
They should be 1-7.
But it's some of it's bad luck. For,
that's
I
what,
mean, the appendicitis, and there's a lot of just...
That's my point. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that they won a ring last year. I just think that it's a culmination of bad karma. They've had a lot of different things happen against them.
Now, what about the whole Cowher thing, too? That was sort of a self-made issue that you could have probably squashed.
I think he's gone.
Only they know how much of an impact that's had
right.
this season.
I just, the way, how confident Jerome Bettis is in that makes me believe he's
right.
gone.
I agree.
Right.
Who are you picking?
This is a tough one. I'm going to stick with my AFC-NFC thing with the Steelers. I'm not very confident. I'm taking the Saints to cover, despite the fact that the Saints won virtually every award in the PFW midseason award thing. I think the Saints will probably win the game, but I'm going to go with the Steelers just to keep with my theory.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me, too. I'm going to agree with Tom because his nickname is Tout, and he knows more about this than me. I'm going to say Pittsburgh.
I don't know
Pittsburgh,
anything about this game.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh to win, New Orleans to cover.
I'm going that way, too. You got to imagine that this is a desperation game for the
Well,
Steelers.
It's over for the
it's
Steelers.
It's over. But
there's no desperation.
For the pride.
I mean, even if they win out, they go 10-6. That's no guarantee they're even going to be in the playoffs.
I know, but for the pride, that they can't lose at home this week.
Pride. They each need to play well, and they
Yeah.
Won't.
There's that loud mouth on the TV now. Was it
Joey Porter?
Without question, my most hated guy in the league right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, just
Joey Porter.
Okay.
Although I wouldn't want to be down a dark alley with him.
No, we both get mugged.
4:15, the St. Louis Rams traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. And Seattle is favored by 3.5 at home.
I don't like this game.
At home. It's a tough game.
I don't like it at all.
No.
That's too bad. You have to pick it.
I'll take the Seahawks because they're at home, and I think in general they're a better team, but I really, really don't like this game. But I'll take them to win and cover because Tom Ashworth, I saw some highlights, playing well at right tackle.
He suck. What highlights? He had 4 false start penalties against the Raiders. 4.
I watched exactly one play last week. I clicked it on, Beth turned on the channel, and there it was, Ashworth. Clips. I go, hey, there's Tom Ashworth. And they go, another false start penalty on Tom. It's the only thing I saw the
you
whole
know
game.
What? It wow. doesn't matter. He's getting paid.
I don't know
good
why.
For him.
Andy,
another
I don't,
example
I don't know why
of
you,
how the Patriots know their players
Andy,
better than
I don't
the
know
rest
why you
league.
Brought that up because I totally
well,
forgot about
you think
it.
They
I was going to rip you. And
right. And the rest,
hi ho.
The rest of the league.
Shouldn't they?
Yeah, and they know when to get rid of a guy. But the rest
the Patriots know their players better than the rest of the league.
The rest of the leagues.
Wow, what a great coaching staff they have.
Continues to want to overpay these guys.
The Ashworth contract.
Yeah, but that was one where everybody the day we heard it said, "Wow,
you know
really?"
It's just like in Arizona, they're saying, "Wow, there's another example of our coaching staff knew Dwayne Starks better than the Patriots did, and they didn't want to overpay for Dwayne Starks."
Fred they didn't overpay. They got rid of him.
Of course. Well, they overpaid for him.
Not really. How much did they pay for
$3 million in a second-round pick for a guy who played five games.
All right.
Anyway, what did you take, Andy? Seattle and
Seattle.
Both?
But I don't feel confident in it.
I'm going to go.
There's no category for your confidence level.
I'm going to go the other way because I can't get that Monday night football game out of my mind and the terrible football I watch from both teams. I think this is the game. The Rams should have beat them when they had Hasselbeck. I think this is the game where they really miss Hasselbeck.
What's the
and
weather
Alexander.
Like going to be in Seattle?
Well, I don't know, Fred.
You don't know that?
Well, why would I know that?
Because you're, you know,
you're a tout.
You're checking it all out. That's all part of it.
I don't bet on pro football. I'd
say rain.
That's why I'm two games under 500. the 7-1 that whatchamacallit got was college football. I just think the Rams right now are a better team overall. I think the Seahawks are doing a pretty good job of keeping it together, but they really need Hasselbeck and Alexander.
Paul,
back.
Just a question. Can you get a number on high school games in Massachusetts?
No.
You can if you want to go to jail.
Right.
What do you mean?
That's taboo.
That's a big-time taboo.
Yeah.
Really? But, I mean, even the pro, you go to jail if you get caught doing
no,
this.
You get.
But there's a way to bet legally on the pros
right.
And college.
And
there's
and
not
and
a way to bet legally on high school.
More likely to look the other way.
And, Fred, and from where I'm from, they do a bust every 10 years on the bookies kind of just to keep it. They, in general, people look the other way on this kind of stuff. You start yep. betting on high school games, you'll get nailed in 2 seconds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, are you looking to play some action on Foxborough or something?
You took the over on Rentham Soccer.
Yeah. No, but seriously, you think about it. If you're a gambler and you wanted to say, okay, well, I have two kind of football-crazed towns playing against each other, I could probably do a reasonable amount of business on this game.
And fix the game pretty easily. Everett
Cambridge?
I go to the quarterback, I slip him $50, I could own him.
You don't think you could get to a guy like me?
Jesus, you can get to anybody.
Casale's got six fumbles out there. What's he doing? I got $100 bills.
If you're a high school kid and you go to him and say, here's $50, here's $100. It's not like in college where you're saying, hey,
they're already making
50,
that kind
50
of money.
Grand. Anyway, who'd you pick in this game?
Just wondering.
St. Louis?
Rams. Pick Foxborough.
Outright?
Where did that come
just
from?
Just wondering.
No, that's really
well,
a bad.
You know, the Super Bowls are coming up. And
Everett Dartmouth. Paul and I will be going head-to-head.
Yeah.
We're
going
to tailgate.
You coming?
No.
Tom's coming.
No.
Why? We'll make it a PFW day. Where'd you go to
high
school?
I don't have time.
Wet pants high or whatever?
D.Y.
D.Y. Oh,
yeah.
Haven't
I don't
won
think
a game
they're in
since
the Super
the
Bowl.
60s.
You won't see me anywhere near that place.
You're coming. You're coming. We're tailgating.
D.Y. as a football team?
Yeah.
Tom, you will be in attendance at this game.
We'll see.
Where is it played?
Probably Brockton.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Just so you know, I'm probably not going.
Why?
Tough area.
I'm making you go.
It's a long ride.
You got to put your money where your mouth is. Everett, ooh, they're great. Roll Tide. Ooh,
if they play at BU, I'll be there.
You guys, go to the Italian kitchen, Paul.
You guys just let us know who wins.
The Italian kitchen?
I'll only let you know if Dartmouth
wins. Brockton.
Mr. Perillo's house?
The greasy kitchen?
Oh.
Thought it was okay. I think I got a little Italian in me.
All right. Where are we?
Paul didn't pick yet.
Hasselbeck is still out, right?
You're about to have some.
Definitively?
Next week is his return, I believe. Or the week. They're both out, for sure, for this game.
I'm going to take Seattle anyway. Both sides.
Fred does it too.
I'll take Seattle. No, wait, 3.5?
Oh.
I'll take the points. Seattle to win, St. Louis to cover.
And you're looking for that confidence column, aren't you?
I'll take that half.
Yeah, I'll split it down the middle. I'll take Seattle win and the Rams to cover, but I'm very
take the points.
Very close to saying Rams outright, but I'm not going to.
But next week he'll tell you he was close, so he's right.
Only because
especially
every game that Seattle loses is better for the Patriots.
Well, I'm surprised that you haven't taken that, just for that reason. Deion Branch finding out that they knew the players better than the other team did.
Finding out that he's making ridiculous catches
for touchdowns every week.
By the way,
as he
Patriots
continues.
Had some good money on the table for Deion Branch. They didn't just let him walk away like Tom Ashworth.
So what does that have to do with anything?
It's not like they let him walk away like Tom Ashworth.
First of all, did anybody, anywhere in New England say that they made a mistake
not
re-signing Tom Ashworth?
No, Deion Branch.
Please.
Fred,
I think they made a mistake not resigning.
Fred, on the Andy Hart show on ESPN 890, Robert Kraft said that over the next couple of years that he'll be the highest paid receiver in the NFL if you break it down. So that's a lot of money.
According to Gary, that was Jonathan Kraft.
Huh?
According to Gary, that was Jonathan Kraft.
Yeah, Jonathan Kraft.
Courtesy of Gary Grodecki here, we have the 5-day forecast in Seattle.
Yeah, little known fact.
Courtesy of John Stack.
Who's John Stack?
One of our emailers.
47 degrees on Sunday.
You'd know if you hosted.
rain, 100% chance of precipitation.
For Sunday?
For Sunday.
That's better for the Rams, Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
So there you go.
100%.
I'm changing my thing.
You can't.
Rams all the way.
It's in the book already.
Okay. Rams all the way.
I can change it.
Rams all the way.
Until we go to the next game.
Oh, okay.
All right. 8:15, Sunday night, Chicago at New York. First game of flexible scheduling for the 2006 season. And let's see what we got here. The Giants are favored by 3 points.
The Giants will win by more than 3 points.
It's a good pick for flexible scheduling, wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty good pick. I'm just looking at this.
Yeah, I hadn't.
The slate.
Plus the media markets. You got Chicago. You got New York.
You got the injury report.
I can see.
Are there injuries?
Mike's going to play?
Injuries, straight hands out. I want to see if Umanura is coming back.
The whole receiving core is out, too.
Tumor's
out, definitely out.
Hold off on writing anything down.
Bernard Berrien's out for the Bears. Urlacher might not play. So, I'd say
I don't know if you heard, but there's a couple of guys that are kind of key players in both teams.
I don't know if you heard. I've been a little busy lately.
Let's see. For Chicago, doubtful is Bernard Berrien. Questionable is Urlacher with a toe. And Dante Wesley with a knee, cornerback, and probable Moshin Muhammad. And for the Giants, Strahan's out, Toomer's out. Omenyora is doubtful.
Okay, that's all I needed.
Questionables, Burris, Emmons, Madison, Sonoris Rice, Brandon Short, and Justin Tuck.
That's Moss, right?
It's Sonoris.
He got
Moss.
Both names wrong.
What did I say?
Sonoris Rice.
Oh, why am I thinking Rice?
Because you're an idiot.
I'm thinking Simeon Rice.
That's I don't know. He only played 10 years ago.
All right, so is it
his name sticking in my head?
I didn't pick yet.
Oh, I thought you picked.
No, I haven't made a pick
Giants.
Yet. I didn't know there was all these injuries. I'm going with the Bears to bounce back because I think Urlacher will play. I did read something about this toe injury. That he was fine, basically.
It's like a hangnail, I think.
Quoted.
Some people think
fine.
He's the defensive player of the year at the midway point.
Some people in PFW think that. So I think that defense bounces back, has a huge game, beats the hell out of Eli, who's an overrated Manning Punani. So I think they win big.
Okay.
Yeah, originally I liked the Giants, but a little birdie and the injuries have swayed me.
Tip?
This isn't a huge tip. It's just
the tip?
No, I'll take the Bears. If you don't have Umanyora and Strahan and LeVar Arrington, that's just too much. And then they take Toomer out and Burris is banged up. It's just too much when you're playing a good Chicago team.
I just think it's funny. I saw the highlights behind us on one of these ESPN news where they show the slate of things they're going to talk about. And it says, Burris says Bears are beatable.
Thanks. Corners. Bears corners.
Well, and they've gone back and forth.
That said corners? Because I didn't see any.
It's utterly ridiculous.
And I guess Ricky Manning Jr. Went back at the Giants.
He said that those three cornerbacks, Vasher and Manning and the other one, what's the other one, Tom?
Tillman.
You know, talking about them, they don't ever make any plays unless the ball's thrown right to them. They can't possibly cover, you know, if they want to line up and find out, they can line up and cover one and try to play us and see what happens. And to which I say, first of all, utterly ridiculous that you're making these comments. Second of all, nice of you when you're probably not even going to play in the game.
Right.
As you sat out last week with back spasms, you're probably not going to play in this game. You haven't practiced all week and you throw that kind of fuel onto the fire. But
now I'm rooting for the Bears and they're going to win.
Yeah, I am rooting for the Bears.
McManus for a tough night.
I'm rooting for the Bears as well because I want that to be a good matchup when the Patriots play against Chicago in a couple of weeks. And I don't think it's going to be. I think the Giants are going to win this game at home, and they'll cover. And I think the Bears have a chance to lose next week as well because I just
Paul,
don't think
watch out
good.
For what some people think is it could be the rookie of the year defensively, Mark Anderson for the Bears.
That's true. I know he has 7.5 sacks, and I'll have to be concerned about him.
What's going on with Rex Grossman? He hasn't been playing well lately. I don't know.
He's playing like a rookie quarterback since has he passed the point where he started?
He played his 16th game.
But you know what I wanted to mention to you guys, because I heard that stat? Mike March, who knows nothing about anything except quarterbacks, said that it takes 30 starts for an NFL quarterback before you can truly assess them, because sometimes they start out strong, then the defenses adjust, and the quarterbacks make readjustments, and he said it usually takes about 30 starts. So I think people are getting a little too hard on, you know, on Grossman. He's only played a full
16
season so far.
Despite the fact that his name has been around for so long.
You know what else is interesting about that, Tom, that you brought up? Don't hear quite as many future Hall of Fame references around Matt Leinart the last couple of weeks.
Right, exactly.
Because he played a couple of decent games and losing efforts to start off his career, and he's been miserable ever since.
Right. Well, my hunch, to give these guys a little time.
And again, I'm not trashing Matt Leinart. I still think he's going to be a decent quarterback.
My hunch has been New York all week. I'm going to stick with it to win the game.
I know I'm right.
outright. And I'm hoping that New York wins so that when we play Chicago, they only make it a 4 o'clock game and not an 8 o'clock.
Not hot.
Good thinking.
Nobody
Smart
wants
thinking.
To see her.
All right. Tampa Bay at Carolina. This is the Monday night game.
Boy,
with
I tell you what.
With Stink. That's her new name, Stink.
Well, I'll tell you what stinks. The Monday night football schedule. You talk about flexible scheduling. They ought to see if they can work out some kind of deal as well.
You know, if you rented a hotel room after she had rented it, you don't just change the sheets. You change the whole bed.
Who are we talking about?
Pink. I don't know why she stinks.
She's on Sundays, Freddie.
Yeah, you're wrong. So.
What's that?
She's on Sunday Sundays. Night football.
Whatever her name is. You just played her song, right?
You didn't mess up her name.
Sunday night football.
What's that?
She's on Sunday night football, not Monday
night.
And
he just played the song.
Yeah, but you're behind a game.
We
got it.
Well, he just
played
it. Why didn't he play it before?
He was playing it throughout the time we were talking about Sunday night football.
And then played this when you said Monday night football.
Monday night. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers.
What, my feet?
Yeah. Let's see. What do we got here?
He's
crazy. Here we go. Monday, 9.5 points, Carolina favored over Tampa Bay.
Where's the game?
In Carolina.
I'll take Carolina. I'm jumping ship from my boy, Gronkowski.
They screwed me last week.
I'll give him his 30 starts before I make an evaluation on him.
That was the best curseism ever. Did he screw me?
Would he go 5-9?
They screwed
me. Yeah.
One game.
The one game that screwed him.
I'm not worried about the outright anymore. I'm just worried about the spread.
There's win and cover. They're the better team.
Yeah, well, as I said, we have an intervention.
Wait, I get to punch you.
No. Why?
If you pick the Bucks, I have to punch you.
We have an intervention ready here. I can't pick the Bucks anymore because I pick them every freaking week and they get killed. So I'm going to take Carolina. I think they'll come back mad after that Cowboys game. They're a fraud team, so they'll beat up on Tampa Bay on primetime.
Okay.
I'm going to take Carolina, but I'm going to take the points because the Panthers really haven't been able to lay it on anybody all year. They've been so inconsistent. These guys are probably right. They probably put it together this week, but I'll take the points anyway.
So ESPN must really be feeling like we're getting screwed. They had the least watched Monday night game in history last week. And then potentially...
Who was it, me and two other people?
Yeah. And then potentially this is another dead
end. I'd rather watch this one than last week's.
Yeah, but you think about the markets, Tampa Bay and Carolina, even... If they were competing for playoffs, which, you know, Tampa Bay isn't.
I agree. I think it'll be low ratings.
Yeah, I think they get too caught up in that market thing.
Well, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I know, but there's only two markets, and there's 800 other billion people all around the country that I think you should try to get to watch
with
just a good game.
Yeah,
but you make your hay with the teams that have a vested interest.
Yeah, the hay is in the barn.
Okay.
Who are you picking, Fred?
I'm going to pick Carolina both ways in this one.
They screwed you last week, though.
No, the
Bucks Tampa
did.
Bay screwed.
Yeah, they screwed. Yeah, they screwed me last
time. All right, Sunday.
Just the tip.
Back to Sunday, 1 o'clock. Jets at the Patriots. Will the Patriots bounce back? Will the Jets give them a tough game like they did last time? Andy,
what was the spread?
10.5.
10.5.
Let's see. According to the Herald.
10.5.
10.5.
Sure. Sure about that? You want to look a little longer?
Hey, Clyde, it's Beano Cook.
10.5.
He is still alive.
Tell him I can hear them.
I think he's really dead.
Your station
it's like
sucks.
Weekend at Bernie's.
I'm out of here.
10.5.
I'm going to take the New England Patriots to win this football game at home. I think they will bounce back. I think Tom Brady will throw the ball with a more consistency. Won't have the tip balls. We'll put his balls on the mark this week. and have some success in the passing game. I think they'll run the ball on the Jets. But I do think that the Jets will keep it close because that seems to be the trend in this series. I think the Patriots have won like 7 in a row and with a number that high.
Second game?
I don't. When was the last time they blew them out? That was like 2002. Look at the series, Paul.
No, 04 at
New York.
Well,
last year they.
Yeah. What was the score?
The Jets scored late. It was like 30-something.
Paul has it right there, right from PFW.
The scores since 2002, the Jets won. The last time the Jets won was 2002. So since then, 23-16, 21-16, 13-7, 23-7, 16-3, 31-21, 24-17.
So in all those but one, if I had 10.5 points, yeah. I'd win with the Jets?
Two.
So what?
Two. 23-7 and 16-3.
More importantly, the second game of each season.
Close enough.
The second game last year was closer than the first.
Okay.
That's okay. I'm taking the points with the Jets. I don't think this Patriots team is clicking on all cylinders enough right now to beat up any team that's in the AFC. And I think the Jets are playing hard for Mangini. He's going to have them really rallying so that maybe eventually Bill will actually say Eric is the coach of the New York Jets to the New England
Patriots. I'm excited to be a head coach.
What do the guys know about this game, Tom, that they give the Patriots?
And one more thing, the over-under on the post-game meeting at midfield is 1 nanosecond.
the spread roughly what it should be, I think. I'm going to go with Andy. I'm going to take the Patriots to win, take the Jets to cover. I like 27-17 around there. You know, some people think that Eric Mangini's honorable mention for coach of the year. You know,
that's what you put?
Nice. You never know. You never know what's going
to
be in PA.
Actually, to make it funny, maybe you should just say the guy who coaches the supremely talented Jets seems to have done a pretty good job.
Yeah, and that's the other reason I'm taking the points. I'm going to go with Bill Belichick here, and you know, since the Jets are comparable to the Colts,
right? Pennington, Manning,
only in skill position players. You didn't say all around. Don't put words in his mouth. Just skill position players. So, I'm still waiting for that written apology to Peyton Manning for comparing Chad Pennington to him.
Hey, John Rook's behind us.
Wow.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the Patriots both sides. I think they lay a whooping on the Jets. I just don't think they're very good.
The Patriots?
The Jets.
He was quick on the response there.
I'm going to stick with Paul. I'm going to go with the Patriots both ways.
Yeah. You're kidding me. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Shocker.
Well, I've many times picked the Patriots.
Yeah,
to cover.
Right. Many times.
To cover.
Many times.
I'm stunned.
Hey, Rook. Texas, 17.5 on the road. What do you think?
Not all that confident. This is like the waiter at Billy Ogden's when I asked about the special that was the
Haddock. Kansas State's going to put up a
fight? I wouldn't go that direction myself.
I don't know. I can't really tell with that Kansas State team, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't really know that much about them myself. I know they're playing hard, but they stink.
Yeah, they're playing, I think, a little above themselves. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'd play that one.
All right.
Give John your big upset this week in college.
What's your upset?
Indiana takes out Michigan in Indiana.
Really?
Yep. They've been building up to this.
Tom's been wrong before.
Based on what
Indiana's been tough at home all season. They throw the ball down the field. They have a really good receiver who makes a lot of plays. Michigan has been playing poorly now for 3 weeks. Lloyd Carr's been building up to this moment. I know he has. They might sneak it out, but I'm telling you it's going to be close, and I like Indiana to win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that certainly wouldn't hurt me any. It wouldn't hurt the Longhorns any. That'd be good news as long as they can take care of business this week.
John, what do you got going today?
We'll talk to
Daxter?
I believe, yes, Russell.
Nice! Daxter.
You!
Daxter! And Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post.
Oh, nice. And you can discuss the uncomfortable conference call and Bill's avoidance of the word Eric and Mangini.
Yeah, well.
He just wouldn't say the name.
352
he eventually
words
did
in his answer.
Mark, I believe, was the one who called him out on it and says, why won't you say his name?
And what did he say?
Oh, well, Eric's a good coach. He finally said his name. But there was a 20-second pause in between the question and the answer, at which time I'm assuming Berge was saying, come on, Bill, you got to say something.
Well, yes, this is true. Do you really think that he felt burned or betrayed by Eric leaving on him like
that? For some reason, he is extremely upset at Eric Mangini. I don't know what the reason is.
Well, there was the tampering charge against the Jets of Dan Branch.
Maybe that's it.
You know? So maybe, I don't know.
I can't imagine, though, that he would be, he knows that all is fair in love and war, and certainly all is fair in football and business.
All's fair in love and war when Bill Belichick's on the winning end of that proposition.
Bill Belichick is one thing. He's a vindictive son of a... He holds grudges with the best of them.
I love that about him.
With the best of them.
I do. It's actually one of the traits I love in him. I love people that hold grudges and are vindictive.
Okay.
Well, all right. I think that's
I
a positive
then
thing.
I guess you like having somebody who holds the grudge on your side as opposed to being on the other side where you call him a whining ninny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting the way you look at
that. Whining ninny.
All right. Well, that's a preview to John Rook. He's coming up at 2 o'clock, and that'll be it for PFW in Progress. We'll see you tomorrow with our final show before the Jets
game. And I'll
game.
Be lucky to win a